adopted, and they just think people
give
it. Of course, that's just completely unrealistic. But as a man, that is not the way that I feel about it. That's not the way that I've seen it. That's not the way that I feel about it, and that's not the way that I've seen it. So we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines here and give them a chance to speak to us. So why don't we see about opening it up for them here? Are you ready to receive fire?
Yes.
All right, let's grab call. Okay, I did have a caller who was on there. I tried to hit their line, and it went off. I'm going to try to give them a moment to call back in and see if I can get that. By the way, I'll see if I can try that a different way here. See if we can get them on here. Caller from the 239, you've been going in and out here. Is everything all right?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay, well, that explains that right there. You must be fighting the Department of Homeland Security over the phone. Let me know if you win. You just been jumping in and off my line over here, and I'm just sitting there watching it, in and out. I couldn't even click on you. You were going in and out so much. And I was like, this must be an important person because they are having a real titanic struggle on this phone right now. So that was the first thing that got my attention. Okay, I'll see if I can get that information here. Now, caller from 773, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, how you doing, Brother Jason?
I'm not your brother.
Well,
now, excuse me, don't say anything.
Yes,
I don't need your name. I'm going to say this to you one time only. I answered this phone line deliberately on purpose. I told you last week, don't ever call me back again for the rest of your life. I was not joking. In the case of Eric, I let him talk to me. In your case, no, sir. Don't ever call me again. Unless Mona tells me. If Mona tells me that you can call back in, I'll take your call. So what I suggest you do is get a hold of her and ask her if you call me ever again. Get off my phone.
Yikes.
Now, for those of you who do not know who that was, because I'm sure it kind of came at you from nowhere, that was the gentleman from last week who called from Chicago, calling Mona all kinds of names. So when I say that you can't call me back again, I mean you can't call me back again. And I remember every single number because I catalog all of them. So that's why when Eric called the other day, I knew who it was. And when he called us now, I knew who he was too. So understand, we don't call ourselves Intelligent Black Society because it's a cute tagline. We say it because it's the damn truth. It's what we are. We are the smartest people in the room. And when I tell you that I don't need you calling me, I mean, I don't need you calling me. Now, in his case, I'm willing to let him call back in once I hear from Mona that all is forgiven. Now, if Mona tells me that he has her permission to call in, I will take his call. But right now, nobody. There's another fella out there that you go talk to. He hates women as much as you do, and I'm sure he'll take a call, and you two will sit there and shoot the breeze about how much you can't stand black women and hate them and therapy and your mommy issues and everything else. Sure, you can do that. This is not the place that does that, and it's very unfortunate that you got me confused with that, apparently. I'm not him. I'm not them. I'm not those people. As Damon Wayans said, you are not my damn brother. The 813, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, man, what's the deal?
What is the deal?
What are you even talking about?
You and your female co-host,
y'all sound like a couple of fools.
Y'all sound like a couple fools. I'm from Bon Tom.
I'm just saying, y'all sound dumb.
You called up here just to say that. You have such a nothing of a life that you actually called in to say that. If you didn't like
really?
Her, why didn't you go somewhere else?
You sounded so stupid that I thought
yeah,
I might call
you
in.
You sound so smart. You sound so intelligent right now. You have just floored everybody with your high intellect.
Go ahead, boy. I'm letting you talk.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, what is it that we're saying that's so stupid? Why don't you explain it to everybody so they can hear how smart you sound?
Y'all whole platform is stupid. Y'all sound like a couple of Uncle Toms.
Okay, what's the platform?
Oh, here we go.
Tell us.
Show everybody how smart you are. Y'all platform is stupid. Y'all show stupid. What's the platform? Y'all a couple of ass-kissing, Uncle Tom-ass Negroes.
Why don't you explain the platform? Y'all need to get y'all shit together. I don't know what y'all platform is.
Y'all shit
platform
sounds
is a big
stupid.
Word. Platform's a
you
big word.
You don't know
word.
What it is, but it's stupid.
Yeah, you don't know what the platform
go
is.
Go ahead. I'm going to let y'all go. Speak. Go ahead.
No. We're going to let you go, you ignoramus. Spell platform for us. Split.
I can't spell platform?
Okay, you can't spell platform, but figured out how to use a cell phone.
I can't spell platform. That's what you're saying.
But you can figure out how to use a cell phone.
I can't spell platform.
Okay. This guy is calling from 813-516-8982. He wasted a whole evening of his misbegotten life. He was off doing mollies. He hopped on the phone. What is this about people who take drugs? Someone explain that to me. How is it that you take drugs? People who take drugs, they want to do two things. Get on the phone, get behind the wheel. That's the things they want to do. I want to get on the phone, and I want to get behind the wheel. Those are the two things that people on drugs love doing, and I don't understand that. Now, this is a black male who he hasn't done anything with himself, hasn't done anything for himself, hasn't accomplished anything in life. He's called into my broadcast because I've actually done something, and he now wants to come here and, your whole platform is bad. Spell platform. I can't spell platform, but you figured out how to use a phone. Amazing. This is that lifetime consumer. Doesn't know how to do anything except work a cell phone. He's at his mama's house, but he's figured out how to work a cell phone and get on the line so that he can argue with people that he does not know for no reason. He doesn't like to broadcast, but he's calling in to let us know that he doesn't like our platform. He can't tell us what the platform is, but he knows he doesn't like it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your brain on drugs. Go away. Get off my phone and don't ever call again.
What is quiet?
I have no idea. Let's see if we find somebody a little less mentally incoherent, which is perfectly fine. Understand something, people. I deal with trolls all the time. I have absolutely no problem with it. I will have no problem embarrassing you in front of your family, your friends, whole damn world. I've got no problem whatsoever doing that. I would prefer that you talk about intelligent and high-minded discussions, but I do understand that the bastard baby makers have made a bunch of gutless eunuch males out who all you can really do is smoke weed and get high and got to sell your Obama funds. So I do understand there's a bunch of you out there. We get that. But understand, you haven't your match because you and I are not a match. It's not even close. You're so outclassed. It's like I'm in the university and you clown out there in the cornfield with a piece of coal and a wooden brick, a wooden stick, trying to write out your name. You're the Neanderthals. There's no way in the world that you can possibly match us. Get out of here. Caller from the 510, you're on Live Black Channel.
Hey, how you doing?
What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is DJ. I'm calling from Bay Area, California.
All right, Dan, you're on the line here. Brother, what's in your mind?
I just wanted to say that I completely agree with you, both you and Melissa Speaks. The first video I saw of yours, Mr. Black, was the one with about Timbaland and his, I guess, his divorce. And I spread it around to some of my coworkers and friends, and they definitely agreed with your point of view. And I just wanted to say that a lot of times I think us as Black people, we have a tendency to defend the status quo because we want to feel, I guess, a part of something. You know, a lot of us, I didn't grow up in a single-parent home. My parents are still married, been married for 37 years, whatever. But a lot have. And so whenever you start talking about the whole, you know, baby mama thing or the single mom thing, it resonates with them because they feel like almost like you're talking about their mother because they grew up that way. And whenever someone has a difference, say that again, I'm sorry.
I am talking about mother, yes. Let me just make this very clear. If you know your mama and you don't know your dad, I'm talking about your mother. Yes.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I agree with you.
I just want to make sure that, you know, it's their perception that I kind of felt some kind of way because I kind of thought you were talking about my mom, yet you felt like I was talking about her because I am. I make no bones about it.
They don't want to hear any difference of opinion, and they don't want to hear anything that may – their brain can't go any further than what they've experienced in their life for whatever reason, lack of education. But one question I did want to ask you, because you guys are talking about how, you know, white men come with the power and the success and the money or whatnot. How does a Black man, because the white man, let's be frank, the white man is the most successful guy on the planet. So with that being said, what is the Black guy? How is the Black guy supposed to come with that power if he isn't the most successful guy on the planet? And one could argue that the white man is responsible for that. So how does the Black man get that power? How does he get that? What did you guys say? It was power, success, and money.
Wealth.
I think it was. How do you guys
power, wealth, and influence?
So how do we start? Where do we begin to accumulate that so we can approach a Black woman and have those things together?
Okay. So what you're saying is, how do I gain power, wealth, and influence?
Because like I said, one could argue that the white guy is responsible for us not accumulating a lot of those things. I mean, this is generations and generations. You know, most of us are descendants of slaves, most of the Black people at least. So where do we begin if we haven't had the proper training or the proper no one's told us or showed us, okay, this is what you're supposed to do.
That's what we're doing now, but here's the thing. We don't need any more training. We actually know what to do. There is no magic book that says do X, Y, Z, and we'll have a successful business. Having a successful business, having a successful enterprise, gaining power, wealth, and influence is not a guarantee. It's like, you know, signing up at Sam's Club. If you got X, Y, Z, you will have power, wealth, and influence. It doesn't work that way. It's a skill. That's somebody has to sit you down and teach you and train you, and you have to go out into the world and utilize that. But really, you learn by doing the thing. Once you get past a certain age, you learn by doing, and it's really a matter of desire at that point. Do you desire to have power, wealth, and influence? Yes, I do. How much power do you have? None. How much wealth do you have? None. How much influence do you have? None. Let's start with the wealth, because you will gain power through wealth. If you get one, you got the other. So if you get one, you will get the other. The next question is, what? That's why I focus on business. What are you doing to build a prize? Because that will teach you all the other skills.
See, one thing that I've noticed is that whenever you start talking about certain things, like, for example, how you guys talk about the white man and how, hey, he has this, that, and the third, whenever you start talking about it, why is the first thing, like the last guy that was on, if the first thing is you're an Uncle Tom, or you, like my sister told me last week, that I'm a panderer to the white
that's
man.
That's just deflection. Why is that? That's all it is. Because he has no ideas of his own, and he's deflecting.
Because the first thing that I told people ask me, why do I have a brokerage account? And I told them, my response was, well, you know, every successful white guy I know has a brokerage account, you know? And that's, well, why do you want to, everything is, why do you want to be like the white guy? What, why, you know, what makes white people, the white guy is the most successful guy on the planet, period. But whenever you talk about that with black people, they think that you're being an Uncle Tom or that you're, you know, that you're pandering to the white man. And my response is usually like, hey, when Samsung came out with cell phones, they copied everything the Apple iPhone did. And that's how they became successful. So if black people copied some of the things that white people did to become successful, in turn, it may be possible that we will become successful. But if
sir,
you tell
what is your first name again?
Say that again.
What's your first name again, sir?
DJ.
DJ, well, if you ask me, here's where we start. We are conditioned to be very good employees. If you sit around and look in the black community, everybody has a job. Not very many people own a company or create their own wealth or make their own way. That's where we need to start. We need to get to the children. Like, I asked my son, he's like 5, we were out to dinner. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to build houses. Who cares? He's going to change it 50 times by the time he's, you know, of age. And I said, why don't you build a company that makes houses all over the city? You know, just things
right.
like that, just to get the kids out of this mindset that they have to work for somebody else until they die.
Right,
that's
right.
What we need to do. And we need to talk to other adults and try and get them out of it. I wish we could leave the adults alone altogether, but unfortunately they're the ones that have all these children that we need to save. So you got to get to the adults and get everybody out of this lifetime employee mindset. After that, we got to get priorities together because we seem to come up with money, Jordans, and, you know, name brand clothing, yet we
right,
can't
exactly.
make an investment in a stock market. We don't know what the hell, I have a broker account, but we don't know what a brokerage account is. We don't know what to invest in. And we could be spending that monthly money. What did Tariq call them? Neek trinkets or something? We could be spending that money and actually putting that towards building something.
We gotta
get out of the lifetime employee mindset, and we gotta get our priorities back in order.
I mean, as black men in particular, we've been watching all these young black men, and going to the NBA and the NFL will make you an extremely high-paid employee. It really will. And that's no problem. I don't have a problem with the guys in the NFL making the millions of dollars that they're making, except for the fact that they're leaving it where they picked it up at. They trick all their money off, and so by the time they get it done, they might as well have never made a dime because they never passed
right.
it on. P. Diddy and Jay-Z
right.
and Beyonce and all the rest of these people, I don't have a problem with them making as much money as they do. I have a problem with the tricking it off that I'm seeing happening here because they are not converting that money into power, wealth, and influence. They are not converting their high wages or their high income into power, wealth, and influence. If that's what's happening, I don't have a problem with it, but that's not what's occurring.
Exactly. That's. I completely agree with you. I asked my sister the other day, we were having a conversation, I told her, I was like, with the money that Jay-Z and Beyonce have, why is it that they still have to go through a big record company to get their music distributed, you know, across the country, across the world? With the money that they have, they should be able to come up with their own distribution
No, stop. It doesn't work that way anymore, y'all. Look, I know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that video went around and Everybody is really off on distribution. Brothers, sisters, please. First of all, it wasn't a distribution problem when Death Row was in business. And it wasn't a distribution problem when Irv Gotti was. That was not the problem, y'all. How many physical CDs are being sold? Everybody's downloading their music. So when you say distribution, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. When everybody has an equal platform to distribute their music and get it to the customer, tell me, what do you mean by distribution?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is why do you have to be associated with Columbia or Sony? What is it that they have that Jay-Z doesn't have that Universal or Interscope?
What they have that Jay-Z does not have is they have a $20 million marketing budget and access to 10,000 radio stations around the country. That is what Columbia and Arista and Universal and EMI, that's what they have that you and I don't have, we'll never get. Not like that we won't. They've got access to the radio stations. They got access to MTV, VH1. They've got access to the old mainstream media outlets, which still hold a lot of sway. That's what they have. So the question is, you can go, quote, independent, and you can do like Tech N9ne, but you are not going to sell 20 million copies. You are not going to sell $100 million worth
of albums. So do you think that even at this stage, as, let's just say, how popular Jay-Z and Beyonce are, that they still wouldn't be able to reach those people without Sony or whatever?
No, because you belong – it's a club. And once you are out of the club, you're out. Because the bottom line is, whether we like it or not, and we don't like it, and it's illegal, but nobody's got the money yet to press the lawsuit, and the attorneys general in each of the states are playing along, but they're paying these radio stations to play their music. That's why you hear Beyonce's new song four times in one damn hour.
They are
paying them to play songs to saturate the airwaves so that everybody hears it. They're paying them. You don't have enough money to pay 10,000 radio stations to play that song four times an hour. You don't have it. Beyonce wants that kind of pull, and she's not going to go spend 20. Stop. Whoa. Maybe you're not hearing me or something here, but you keep cutting in when I'm talking. Maybe that's the point of it. If you don't have that type of financing, you won't get that kind of reach. That was why when Young Guru talked about fellas and in the business making their own albums, he said that if you sell 50,000 copies, you know, that's a salary. If you can sell 10,000 copies at $5 a piece, or if you can sell, you know, 5,000 copies at $10 a piece, at that rate, you know, he was talking about that's an income. But Beyonce is not trying to make an income. She's got $30,000 maternity suites to pay for. And with her and Jay-Z, and they want to buy their Maybach Benz and whatnot. So you finance that on $1 million a year. You can't do that. Birdman bought that Bugatti Veyron. The Bugatti Veyron is a $2.2 million car. The maintenance on that car is $100,000 a year. He bought the car. Now it costs him $100,000 a year to maintain it, so he doesn't lose his warranty. By the way, they only have a 3-year warranty, boy. $2 million to your warranty. But my point is, he wants that car. You're not going to get that if you go independent. So he has worked his way up to the ladder. He's in that half of 1% that can afford that kind of lifestyle, but he's going to lose it if he leaves the company. So long as he keeps putting Nicki Minaj and Drake and Lil Wayne out there like that, he will be able to keep it. As whoever the hell she's with, she will be able to keep it. As soon as she leaves it, she's gone. She's out of that. She's no longer plugged into that multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. These companies are not worth millions, they're billions. She makes millions, but she's part of a billion-dollar corporate marketing machine. She's going to lose all of that if she goes independent. The question is, Beyonce, are you willing to give that up? You will not sell as many... you will probably be the highest paid independent artist out there, and you may even be able to afford to put yourself on television. But understand, you will be paying for it on your own now. Are you willing to do that? That's the question. And can you afford it?
So what would you suggest that these, you know, rappers or athletes, how should they use their money to influence our community or do better than just the status quo?
Right now, it would be here's the problem, okay? The problem is Kendrick Lamar was the number one rapper in America, and he was independent. And you see he signed for a record deal. You know why?
Why?
Because he wants a Bugatti too.
Right, right.
Now, as long as we can keep them on that, chasing that Bugatti, as long as we can keep them there, we'll be able to hold on to them to the end of time.
Right.
You got all these black men and all these black people chasing Bugattis. And in the case of black
right.
women, they want that thing that they saw Missy Elliott had. When they saw, was it VH1 or MTV, where she's got, it was like a whole closet, a room. It was practically a room unto itself with nothing but shoes in it. So they got the girls chasing Balmains and Gucci and Fendi and Louis. Everybody wants to have 100 handbags and 1,000 shoes. So girls want
right.
handbags, shoes, and the guys want a Bugatti. And as long as I can keep that carrot in front of you, you will be chasing those false idols for the rest of your life. Because the truth is, only a couple of you can actually get that. And if I can keep you chasing this, I'll have you making albums for me in the next 20 years. Still can't figure out why you never got the Bugatti yet.
Right.
So, or at least you will get the Bugatti, but I had you making albums for me. Most of your money and wealth went to me chasing that Bugatti.
Right, right.
So I gave you a Bugatti today, and I've got your ass on the hook for the next 10 years.
Right.
Ask Nas. He'll explain
right.
that 10-year contract to you. He'll explain it.
Right, right.
Once I do that, I got you. So the real thing is, what are your priorities? Do you want to be free, or do you want that Bugatti?
Right.
So
I don't think that
can
a
we
lot
convince
of our people,
black men to not chase that? Can we convince them that they don't need a Bugatti, or at least they need to wait 5 years before they get it? Can we convince them of that? That's the question.
Right. That a lot of our people understand financial independence and what wealth really means. A lot of my family members that I know that I see, like, the first thing they do, you know, they get a good job. The first thing they do is go buy a car, you know, clothes, things that don't mean anything in the larger scheme of things. You know, I know I had a cousin that was 25 years old. She doesn't even know. I had to explain to her what a 401k is. And that's what's so funny is that I'm always in my family, I'm the Uncle Tom, you know, this, that, and the third. But when they need information on 401ks or investing, I'm the first person they call because they can't call anybody else because no one else even knows what the hell that is.
It's
just kind of sad, actually.
They just don't know. It's a deflection. If you ask me, it's happened to me a lot. You're trying to be like the white people. Well, no, I'm not. I have ideas and, you know, I want to do things in life. If now that's being called white too. So not only is being well being called white, now if you have ideas and if you have financial knowledge, you're an Uncle Tom and you're cooning. And it's just ignorance. They don't know any better. They want to change anything. They've gotten comfortable in their dysfunction. So anything contrary to that is trying to be Uncle Tom or white.
We've grown comfortable with poverty. We've grown comfortable on the plantation. And now somebody talks about leaving, and the first thing they think of is, wait a minute, Massa brought me this plate today. Now you're asking me to go out and get my own. And the truth of the matter is that adversity teaches us what we're really made of. When I face you with adversity, I will instantly find out what you're made of. That's the problem. I can instantly find out what you are made of, because once that occurs, once I put you in an area of uncertainty, then I find out whether or not you truly believe in yourself. And if you do believe in yourself, I find out what it is that you believe about yourself. And what we're finding out is that people are high-income wage earners, are high-income earners, but they don't actually have any confidence in themselves to be able to do that. Now, even a kid like Kendrick Lamar, does he really have confidence in himself if he's chasing a record deal? I mean, that song by Drake, everybody got a deal, I did it without one. The truth is, he ultimately wound up getting one too.
Right.
So what does that tell you? That tells you they're all chasing the same thing. You have a couple of guys like Nine who said, you know what, I may never be on MTV again, but guess what?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to leave half my damn money. I'm sorry, 75% of the money that I earned, I'm not going to leave that with a record label. I'm taking it with me. Him and the white guy, of course. But guess what? He's keeping a lot more of his money with the one white dude he's dealing with now than he was with the corporation he was dealing with before. May never be on MTV again. May never have another number one song again. May never get a Grammy ever. But guess what? Like Ultimate Warrior and Bill Goldberg, I may never be heavyweight champ again, but I'm not going to be one of these broke dudes talking about I used to be a wrestler.
Right.
Not going to be one of them. I can tell you that. They can call him a sellout and say that they cashed in and whatever. He wanted to get a bunch of money and do nothing. Brock Lesnar, they can talk as much crap about him in the WWE as they want. He's the highest paid person in that company, and he only works 2 days out of the month.
Mm-hmm.
While the rest of them are on the road 300 days of the year. But you think he's feeling bad? Okay. Call him whatever in the hell you want to. He's winning. We need to get black men in particular back understanding what winning is. Winning, black men are willing to trade in money for fame.
Right.
And that is never, never, ever supposed to happen. You are never supposed to be willing to trade money for fame. But we are so esteem impacted, we trade money for fame every single day without even blinking.
Right. Right. I have a question for you, Melissa.
Yes.
Why is
yes,
it that... Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I had a question for you. Why is it that I've watched some of your videos, and why do you think it is that whenever you speak on black women, the conversation gets turned into, well, not all black women or not all black women do this. It's almost like if someone tells me something, I don't need them to explain to me that they're not talking about every single person in that culture. It's already assumed that, you know, you're speaking of the majority or your experiences or whatnot. Why do you think the conversation turns to that, like that's their defense for what you're saying? Do you think that's a deflection tactic or?
It's defense and deflection. The first defense mechanism is we ain't all like that, which generally means to me, yeah, you're a hit dog and you're hollering right now. But it's also a deflection. You know, they'll say any intelligent person would understand that if you're speaking in generalities, by definition, general does not mean all. So you should not have to give this disclaimer of it's not all, it's not every black female, but people are generally stupid. And I hate to say it like that, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I thought things were bad before I started putting my face out there and making these types of videos. Now that I've touched, you know, tens of thousands, oh my God. You would not believe the general across-board ignorance.
Mm.
this nonsense, stupid things. And you know, I really shake my head at my computer. Like, did this person really just say that? It ain't all black women. And then proceed to argue like I said we are, argumentative. So you're telling me it's not all, and now you're arguing in the comment section to prove that not all black women argue. Here you are. You know, it's just, we're so used to being dysfunctional and backwards.
Right.
And that's the sad
right.
part about it. We're so accustomed to it, we don't know any other way.
Right.
We just have this, like, we emotionally vomit everywhere. And it doesn't matter who it hits, if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, we'll just talk.
Right. So with that being said, why do you continue knowing that this dysfunction? I mean, I know that you probably have more supporters than people that are negative towards you, but if you see this dysfunction and you see this negativity towards you, doesn't it make you just want to say, you know what, I'm just going to worry about me and mine, and, you know, the rest of them, it's up to them. Or
I
do
actually
you just
care.
Do it? You do
I actually care?
Care
about people. I don't like to walk into a room, and based on skin color, I'm a liability to everybody standing in there. They're wondering what I'm going to do and say and how I'm going to behave. I don't like that. I would like for black people to do and be better, especially with their children. And unfortunately, like I was saying earlier, I don't have, magic glasses where I can see who is going to listen and who is going to take heed and who is not. So I have to talk to everybody. And furthermore,
right.
who gives a damn what people think?
I mean, I really don't concern
myself with that. Really don't.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain people that, the people who, look, we have a faction of black society. We have three factions in black society. Those who want us to do better, we're the woeful minority. Those who like the cesspool the way it is, and those who are just in the middle saying, I follow whoever is strongest right now. And unfortunately, the people in the middle might as well be a part of the we like the cesspool.
Yes.
Now, we black people don't have the option of ignoring this. We don't have that option. I just get up and take care of me and mine, but the problem is you can't do that because the police pulled you over and racially profiled you for driving while black because of how weak your people are.
Yes.
Because you're out there in your BMW by yourself. You don't have any friends in the court system. You don't have any friends in the police department. You don't have any friends in the school system. You don't have any friends in the neighborhood. You don't have any friends in politics. Mm-hmm. There is a war going on against you. So how can you sit up here and say, I'm going to take care of me? Because the bumheads out there taking shots at people like Melissa and me, those people are saying, I'm just going to take care of me too. That's why they think they can take shots at us. Nobody is fighting white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing that, you're part of the problem.
And DJ, I was speaking specifically to the people, because there are people left and right who come on and say, you're a slut, you're a whore. I don't care what they think and say. For those people, I don't care. I don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as concern about opinions, you know, the people who have some sense, that's who you worry about influencing. I myself, I don't worry about influencing idiots like the first two callers. I don't. That's why
yeah.
I said don't call me back again. I'm not influencing you.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get these people that call in that say these things. It doesn't make you just be like, why am I even doing this? Like, am I even reaching anybody out there?
Doing
you know what I'm saying?
You are doing this because this is set up as beacon to people like yourself and people like Chris Miller. And the people in my chat room is set up for people like them to let you all know that we are the beacon, we're the lighthouse. You are not alone, and you're not by yourself. You're not the only one who gets it. That's what this is about. This is not about the lackeys and the flunkies and the idiots. This is not about them. Let them roll off as Zimmerman is coming. This is about gathering up the people who get it, who are already on board, so that your children can start the process of turning this around. I get some more calls here, but I'll let you have the last word.
Right.
You have anything else you want to say?
Well, no, I just want to congratulate you guys and say, you know, keep doing your thing. I really enjoy listening to both of you. It's always good to hear people that have a difference of opinion that is beneficial, you know, to us Black people. You know, I get tired of hearing people defend the dysfunction in our community, and it's sometimes I feel like I'm fighting a battle alone, you know, because I'm talking to so many Black people that have this same way of thinking, you know, with our dysfunction and things of that nature. So it's just cool to hear other Black people that think the same way, and hopefully, you know, we could better our community. And I just also wanted to say I really enjoyed that Timbaland video, the one that you did. That's the one that really, like, got me listening to you, because I was like, man, like, he hit so many points that resonated with me. I was like, wow, you know, those are things that I thought about before. You know, I didn't think anybody else thought like that. And I sent it to some of my coworkers that are also Black men, and they felt it too. So I just wanted to say keep doing your thing, and I appreciate you guys.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother. Please call
in
again. A lot of calls on the board right now, and I've got one from overseas. I'm going to get to her call right after this one, because I've got one that I needed to hear first. But my overseas caller, just stay on the line, and you're going to be the next person I get to here. Let me grab caller from 314. Thank you very much for your patience. You're on live with the Black Channel. Four, you're on live. I sat up here and gave you a special intro. Okay, caller from 314 has been abducted. So I guess I'll go ahead and grab my overseas caller now. So they've been waiting with bated breath. Is Space Goddess.
Hi.
IE. Well, I won't say IE. You're just Base Goddess for now, unless you want to use another name.
Well, my real name is Aleo.
Hello, Aleo. Now, I understand you've actually had a lot of things to say today, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to say that. But before I do, was there anything that you've heard during the broadcast tonight first that you want to speak on or address? Because you did have some statements to make about that.
Not really. It's not really that important.
Really?
No.
Because you had so much to say earlier.
Well, I said one thing.
You said a couple of things.
No, I didn't. I said one thing.
Okay, I can repeat it for you if you like.
Well, then.
Okay. You said intelligent Black women what? In the chat room, you said intelligent Black women don't want Black men. I'm quoting you.
Well, most of them, from what I've seen.
Most of them from what I've seen. Why don't you elaborate on that for us?
Because a lot of Black guys can't really hold an intelligent conversation. They seem more occupied with getting girls and flaunting their non-existent money. And a lot of girls that have drive, they don't even bother with them.
Okay. Now, those are very generalized statements. Why don't you give us a specific?
There isn't really a specific, to be honest.
Yes, there is. I mean, you can't just make a statement like most intelligent Black women don't want a Black man because they're trying to flaunt their non-existent money. Because you haven't told us anything about the women. What is it that makes them intelligent Black women?
I just mean like intelligent as in high IQ, wants to do something in their life. I'm just saying from what I've seen, where I live.
Okay, you're not telling us what kind of person that is. You're just saying they want something out of their life. Can you tell us what something is? Do they want some weed? Do they want diamonds? Do they want some slippers? What exactly makes her intelligent? Because Oprah Winfrey wants something out of life. Hell, Lil' Kim and Nicki Minaj want something out of life. Are we going to include them intelligent also?
Well, Nicki Minaj, in a way, is intelligent. because she makes terrible songs but makes a lot of money out of it. So in a way, that's kind of intelligent.
Okay, so how much money you make determines your intelligence.
Well, she's made money from not even trying, to be honest.
Okay,
like,
I'm sorry, she does try. I mean, that's not true. You're saying she made money without even trying. Seriously?
Well, she doesn't.
How do you hear she's not trying? Okay, how many tour dates does she have to do? How many concerts does she have to perform? How many television appearances does she have to make in a day? But you say she does it without trying. I don't care who writes the songs. She has to go out there and perform them. But you're saying she does it without trying.
Well, I prefer to be doing what she's doing than being doing a 9-to-5 or two jobs.
Right, I mean, but what you've told, I mean, but the guys in the NBA make more money than she does. Are they intelligent? If making money is what determines intelligence, so guys in the NBA and the jocks in the NFL, those must be scholars then, by the standard that you just gave us.
Well, if all they're doing is running up and down on a court and they're making a lot of money, then I don't see how that's a dumb thing to do in their life.
Okay, but I didn't ask you if it's dumb to make money. We live in a world that runs on money, as Danny DeVito said in The Heist. Yeah, everybody needs money. That's why they call it money. But that has nothing to do with your intelligence. I am a Class A capitalist, and I would never say that making money is what determines your intelligence. You said several times, intelligence, and you say, well, they make a lot of the money, so that means they're smart in my book.
Well, if you're poor, if you choose to be poor, it's not a very smart thing to do.
Okay, well, we can discuss this. Well, I got a couple of questions. First of all, somebody asked a very good question here. How old are you?
Oh, I'm 18.
You're 18 years old.
That explains it.
I'm going to say that really explains everything. Welcome for you and everybody else out there who knew. Welcome to the Black Channel. We are a place that takes misconceptions that you've been carrying through your life, and we straighten them out for you so that it all starts to make sense. Because the worst thing you can do is be a young person who goes sailing through life with a ton of misconceptions, and then that's how you end up screwing up your life, because as a female, you have a much shorter window to get your head on straight than I do as a male. I've got way more time than you do. You don't have enough time to carry around as many fallacies as we just heard in the last 5 minutes. You don't have the luxury of being able to do that. You were unable, understand something, you were unable when you were asked to define for us what intelligence is. I asked what's intelligence, and you said a check.
No, I said someone with a high IQ.
But you not... Okay, explain to us what quantifies that high IQ. Because when you were asked before, you said, they're making me, so I don't see how that's dumb that they're running down the field. So you're not saying that. Tell us, what defines intelligence in your mind for these black men who don't want to be with black men? What is it that they have that quantifies their, quote, intelligence?
Say that again? You kind of asked, three questions.
I'm asking just one. For those black women who you said intelligent black women want a black man, explain to us what is it that makes those black women intelligent?
I said intelligent black women, you know, ones that are actually intelligent, they don't tend to have black partners that
okay,
I've seen.
Okay, you keep saying black women. What makes a black woman intelligent? Well, what makes her intelligent is she's got intelligence. Ma'am, explain to us, what is it that makes them intelligent? What is it? What characteristic it
that
is
has,
makes them intelligent?
I don't know, a PhD in, like, astrophysics, or is wise.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the women who have a degree are what you quantify as intelligent.
That's one factor.
Okay, so you see that as if there are no black men who have PhDs in astrophysics.
There is. But
okay.
I haven't heard of any.
Wow, seriously? One of the most famous astronomers in the world right now is a black man. I trip up on pronouncing his last name. I want to say it's like Grassi. I keep tripping up on his last name. He's one of the most famous astronomers on Earth right now, dealing with the creation and origins of the universe. But you didn't even know that. He's been on Sci-Fi Channel a bunch of damn times. Hell, he's been in comic books in Marvel for Spider-Man. But you sat here and said there are black women. Can you please name me a black woman with a degree in astrophysics?
To be honest, my point was about people my age.
Wait a minute. Wait. No. You're the one who said it. Okay. Gross Tyson is who was what I was talking about. And that brother is one of the most well-known people in astrophysics in the world. He's been on television all over the place. You just mean, well, black women with degrees in astrophysics, okay? I just named for you a black man who has it. I'm asking you, can you name for me a black female who has it? Because I just met you three quarters of the way. I'm asking you, okay, you threw this out there. Can you take two? I just took 50 steps. Can you take three and meet me with a black female? Because I just took 50.
Do I have to answer this? Can we just forget about
and
this
that's,
now?
And that's, no. But that's my point, that you're 18 years old, and you're carrying around this prejudice that says that, oh, there's a bunch of on-point, intelligent black women out there and no black men, and that these women are on point. We can't really define what on point is, but they're not dating black men. You haven't been able to tell us who they are. They do.
I'm talking about people my age, and obviously people my age haven't got a PhD yet. But I'm saying black guys my age are not intelligent.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. What is it that makes you smarter than them?
It's probably because I actually take an interest in politics and life, and they don't have a clue what's going on, to be honest. They're just too busy sitting around in a gang or something.
Okay. You know what?
And the
other
black girls that are like me don't.
Well, that's a fair thing to say, but to be totally honest with you, and I speak to a good number of females from Britain, black males from Britain, it's not like a bunch of them are up on that either. Now, you said it's because I care about things like politics and life. Can you please explain, give an example of what you know in politics that the average black male that you've met does not know? Give me an example of the last time that you knew something in politics that a black male you were talking to in Britain did not know. Tell me.
You can't even start a conversation with them because they're like, oh, I don't even care, and then they just walk off or think you're a freak. So that's what...
Okay, the last time that happened, tell me how it went.
Well, I think I was probably talking to someone else, and they were just laughing, like, why are you guys talking about that?
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't know anything. It probably means that they're a little, maybe, shy or, you know, conscious about it. But here's my thing. You haven't told what you were talking about.
Well, he knew what we were talking about, but he probably couldn't join in because he had no knowledge of the subject.
What was the subject? Yeah, that's what we're trying to find out what the subject was.
Oh, I think we were just talking about, like, because, well, in this country, we have the Conservative Party, and we're just talking about, like, them and what we think of them.
Who's the Conservative Party?
Well, that's the party that's in power at the moment.
Yes, I'm asking
David
you.
Cameron.
Who is the Conservative Party in Britain?
Mr. Cameron.
Okay. I know who Cameron is. I'm the authority. I'm asking her... What is the Conservative Party? It was a simple question.
It's just a political party that's in power.
Okay, so what you're telling me, let me make sure here, okay? You are telling me that there is a party in Britain with the name Conservative.
Yeah, they're like, they're usually for like the middle class kind of people.
Telling me that David Cameron's political party that he is with is called the Conservative Party. When they have their yearly convention, it says, "Welcome to the Conservative Convention." That's what you're telling me.
Yeah. That's what they're called.
Okay, so you're telling me that there is no party called the Labour Party.
Called the what?
You're telling me that there is no party called the Labour Party.
Yeah, there is the Labour. There's
okay.
Loads of parties. There's UKIP, there's BNP, but the one
yes,
in power.
But I'm saying that David Conservative is a political affiliation leaning, an ideological leaning, has nothing to do with a political party. That is a ideology. The party, the political party that David Cameron is a member of, I'm asking you, what is the name of that party? It's not the Conservatives. Conservative is a political ideological leaning. Conservative, liberal, socialist, communist. Now, you may be a communist party member, and there may be some people around calling themselves socialist, but the party that David Cameron is a member of?
That's what they call them. I've never heard it be called anything else.
Now, understand something. I'm born and raised in the United States. I've never touched British soil. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm saying I was born and raised in the United States, and I'm asking you about a political party in your country because you were talking about how they were just woeful about that. You want to go ahead and if you look it up, you can.
No, I'm on Facebook.
Okay, well, in any case, let me come back to that for you here, okay? What I'm saying is that if you're going to say things like that, can we all make sure that we're on an even keel, okay?
Okay.
Now, here's my real part about that. As young people today, politics is a wonderful thing. I don't have a problem with that. And there's a reason why I was asking the questions the way that I was asking them, okay? There's a reason why I was asking that. What I'm saying is that you're 18 years old, and somebody has cheated you already at 18 to say something like that. Somebody's jaded you already. I mean, seriously, at 18, how many black men, male, because they're not men, how many black males could you possibly have met at 18?
I have a lot of friends, and I meet a lot of people, and just in general, I just don't like dealing with them. I don't like dealing with a lot of black girls either. They're too loud, they're too rude. I just don't like most of them. My age anyway, maybe when they get a bit older.
Okay. But what I'm saying is how many could you possibly have dealt with to come to the conclusion that both intelligent black men don't want a black man?
Because it's not everyone in the whole world, obviously. I'm just talking about my age, where I live, and from what I've seen. And I've never seen an intelligent black girl be with a black boy.
Okay. Do you live in an area where there's a lot of black people?
My college does, but not where I live.
Okay. You might want to take a little time before you go out and make sure that you are actually certain of what you're speaking on. Because at 18, you're going to make that kind of statement among people who actually matter. Because at 17, from age 0 to 17, you haven't really met anybody who matters or who takes you seriously. You're getting ready to go into the adult world. You're getting ready to go into the adult world where your statements are going to matter, where your statements are going to determine if somebody hires you or not. That's what you're going to do. And I'm concerned that at 18, you picked up a horrendous habit, and you're going to say the wrong thing in the wrong place, and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is going to vaporize right in front of you.
Okay.
Now, one more thing. How's your weed habit?
It's not a habit.
You don't think it's a habit?
No. You're making a big deal out of nothing.
I'm making a big deal out of nothing.
Yeah.
Question.
Like,
somebody who smokes weed, is that person qualified to speak on the internet?
Yes, because I actually know the benefits of it and how it can benefit society.
Okay, you actually know how smoking weed can benefit society?
Yeah, it really can.
Okay, how many tattoos do you have?
I haven't got any, because people who tattoo underage, it's like, they're not good.
I thought that you had probably snuck way in there by now, but okay. I was just wondering about that, because I was like, no, she's got a weed habit, but she doesn't have any tattoos. It usually goes backward. Usually you get the tattoos and the weed habit. But be that as
what,
it may.
What's wrong with tattoos? They're like pieces of art on people.
What's wrong with tattoos? The fact that you have to ask that question, you don't see the problem with that?
I don't understand why you hate them so much. There's so much talented tattoo artists out there that are like, fine artists.
They're also talented porn performers.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you want to draw a line between those two, though, don't you? Okay, let me just make this. Let me try to explain to you like this. Do you believe that the way you keep your house tells us about what kind of person you are?
Yeah.
Okay, do you believe that the way you keep your children tells us about what kind of person you are?
You're trying to say that people who have tattoos...
Whoa. I'm not trying to say nothing. I asked a question. Do you believe the way a person can keep their children tells us what kind of person they are?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe that the way a person keeps their skin and their body tells what kind of person they are?
I think tattoos...
Whoa.
So if someone has that, then they look good.
When somebody asks you a question and you immediately start not answering it, that tells you that you need to question that belief you have, because you should be able to answer that straight out. Ma'am, you answered the first two questions you were asked. How you keep your house tells us what kind of person you are. How you keep your children tells us what kind of person you are. How you keep your skin and your body, does that tell me what kind of person you are?
Yeah, it does. And someone who
okay.
has tattoos is unique.
That's very simple. It tells us what kind of person you are. Now, what you're about to do right now, because I'm telling you, go ahead and say what you want to say, but what you're about to do right now, you're going to try to walk that statement backwards and tell us that how I keep my skin has nothing to do with what kind of person I am. So go ahead. Yes, you are. Go ahead and tell us.
I was going to say that tattoos are a work of art, so I don't understand why you hate them so much, because the people who do it are incredibly skilled, and it takes a lot of years to be a tattoo artist. It's a trade. It's a skill. You can take that around the world. You kind of put it down to ratchet women have tattoos. Ratchet women look like this, and it's not true. And I don't understand why you have such a prejudice against people who have tattoos.
Okay. I just explained to you what it was. You said absolutely nothing to say. You say it as if those are ratchets. Well, most of the ratchets have tattoos. Why is it that most of the ratchets have tattoos, but most of your doctors, lawyers, oh yeah, and astrophysicists don't? Those intelligent people you were referring before with high IQs and degrees and PhDs, they don't have tattoos, and put in prison, and lower IQ
they do
people
have tattoos.
Mostly do.
The only
you can
reason
find
why
one
they
or
probably
two.
Hide them, is because they
you
can't
find
get
one or two. I'm saying that those PhD people you're talking about do not have tattoos, but the low IQ people do. So if tattoos are so great and wonderful, why is it that most of the people who have tattoos are the IQ people? Simple question.
It's not because they don't want them. It's because they can't get a job with them, which is sad. It's really sad that society is like that.
Ma'am, I asked you a simple question.
Yeah, you said,
before that intelligent is PhDs and whatnot. Wait a minute.
That's
you said before. You yourself said that intelligence was PhDs and people with doctorates and high incomes. Well, those people with PhDs and doctorate and David Cameron, they don't have tattoos.
That's just irrelevant.
Why is it that wait a minute. Why is it that those people with high IQs that you were referring to before, why is it that they don't have tattoos, but your convicts and inmates are covered in them? If tattoos are so great, why is it the people who are covered in tattoos are the worst people in society? Simple question. Or are you going to say that that's not true either?
Have tattoos. That's what the media shows you. There are
No, the media is not making that up. For you to say that's what the media is showing us is to say that the media is fabricating this. They're not fabricating that.
That's what they show you. That's such an old way of thinking.
Okay, we can see it on the street, too. It didn't need a TV to see that. I can see it walking down Texas Street in Shreveport, Louisiana. You're acting like, that's just media just showing you that, but you can't find it in real life. Anybody who goes and visits a jail can find dudes covered in tattoos, and if you go to the pen, find even more. No, that's not – did the media create penitentiary?
Well, you can walk – well, in my doctor's surgery, my doctor has tattoos. My graphics teacher had tattoos.
Okay, whoa. You said my doctor has tattoos. Does your doctor have a tattoo sleeve? He's got a sleeve for tattoos up on.
He wears a long sleeve because in his job, you're not allowed to show it. That's why they don't get tattoos, because of their job. Not because they think tattoos are for degenerates, because they can't get it for the job.
Okay, what kind of doctor is he?
Just general practice.
Okay, he's a GP. How long is he a GP?
How long?
Yes.
What do you mean, how long?
How long has he been a general practitioner?
I don't know. I don't know him.
Okay. That kind of explains something to you, that he's a GP and not a specialist.
That's so irrelevant.
Okay. So his income is not relevant? His ability to excel at craft is not relevant. So now you're going to tell us that intelligence does not matter, and ability to excel does not matter. Expressing yourself with your tattoos, that does matter. As I said, you're about to start walking it backwards very quickly. Didn't take long to get there, did it?
You just have this idea that tattoos are for convicts and ratchets.
Saying, why is it that most ratchets and convicts have tattoos? Simple question. Why is it most convicts and most ratchets have tattoos, but most of your PhDs don't?
Well, convicts have tattoos because of gangs and what it means. Ratchets get it, I don't know, they just go to bad artists and get horrible stuff on their body. But there are plenty of intelligent people that get pieces of art because that's a good thing to do, because you're going to have that on your body for the rest of your life.
Okay, most of your PhDs don't have them, so why is it that all these people have the ability to choose, and the convicts and the ratchets are covered in tattoos, but the smart people not? Why is that?
What do you mean? There are smart people that have tattoos.
I didn't say that if there are any smart people with tattoos. I say, why is it that most of them don't? Most of them do not. And most
because
of your convicts, ratchets, hoes do. Why is that?
I said because of their job.
No, ma'am. Got nothing. I said that they don't have tattoos at all. Your doctor is an anomaly.
Because of his job.
Okay.
It's very hard to get hired as a doctor with tattoos.
No, we have to count him. He has a tattoo already, so we have to count him. But most of PhDs do not. Your university professors do not. Your Neil deGrasse's don't. Why is it the smartest people, most of the smartest people never got tattoos, and most of your convicts and ratchets do. Why is that?
I already told you. You just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
No, because you have to answer the question. Why is it that most of your PhDs don't
job.
Have them?
You can't get hired with tattoos.
No, that's not accurate, because you have to choose to not get a tattoo before you get your degree. So your decision to get a tattoo has nothing to do with getting your degree or what kind of job you're going to have. As you just explained with your doctor, well, you can always cover them. Yeah, but most people don't have to cover them, because most people with PhDs don't have one.
How do you know? Have you seen some sort of survey?
Yeah, there have been a bunch of them, ma'am. You didn't, but you're smart, but you didn't know that. I won't even lead you to that one. No, I'm not going to even lead you to that one. I'm going to let you look that one yourself. Look up people who have the most tattoos. Matter of fact, you can start by going by income. That'll be a good place for you to start. And why don't you go ahead and post that up so you can be the first person to ever prove Black Authority wrong on anything? Why don't you go for it? Because so far it's not looking so good. So since you just brought that up, it should be very easy for you to post that up, shouldn't it? Should be very simple. Because you just made that statement, so now you're going to back it up, right?
You could just send it to me.
No, I'm saying you just made the statement. If you're going to question me about it as if I'm wrong, then you can't question me unless you know for a fact that it's not right. Because I just sat here and presented you with facts, and I said, yes, that's what the truth is. And you're like, nah, yeah.
Well, if now, it's a fact, then show me the proof.
One of us is dead wrong. One of us is completely wrong. One of us is. Both of us can't be saying two diametrically opposed things and both be right. So either you are right that people with PhDs are just got tattoos just covering them up, or I'm right that most people with PhDs don't have one at all, because they made a decision early in life that tattoos are a sign of a emotionally troubled mind.
That's your opinion, because it's subjective.
How's my opinion if most of your convicts and most of your ratchets and welfare hoes got them? How is that my opinion, then?
Because you haven't counted every single person on welfare and if they have tattoos or not.
Deflection.
You're just assuming because you're looking on YouTube at, like, I don't know, World Star Hip Hop, and then assuming
okay,
all
about,
have
okay,
tattoos.
What about the street? You said that before about the media. What about the street in front of me? What about walking in the mall in front of me? Is that World Star Hip Hop?
So, just because of that one mall, all of a sudden, every single ratchet has tattoos.
No, you just said that it was the internet, and I just told you, no, that's not just what you see on the internet. I can see it on the street every day. It has nothing to do with the internet. This is reality, and you're trying to pretend that it's not. We got the facts sitting in front of us. But you want to pretend now because it's not convenient. No, that's not a fact. You just saw that on Star Hip Hop. No, I see it outside my home. I see it in the street. I saw it at City Hall last week.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to the world.
That's not okay. So going to City Hall is not the world?
You're saying most ratchets and most convicts have tattoos, right?
Yes, and you can go to any jail and verify that. That study was done a long time ago. You go to the penitentiary and find somebody, including the corrections officers. Go try to find somebody who does not have a tattoo. Why don't you try that on for size?
So you hate tattoos, say, for example, the Maui people, even in Europe with, like, the kind of Nordics, where they used to tattoo themselves, they're also considered stupid and ratchet.
Okay. When did they start? First of all, where did tattooing come from? Because what you're doing right now is you're deflecting. You have not explained to us how tattooing, how you keep your skin, does not tell us what kind of person you are. Because you admitted that how you keep your house tells us what kind of person you are, how you keep your car, how you keep your kids. We got the skin, and now you're trying to tell us that, well, skin is an exception. My skin,
I can desecrate my skin.
I can't see feces from the wall in the house. I've got mental problems. I can't dress my children or put them in rags. I got mental problems. I can desecrate my skin, but that's different from how I keep my house and how I keep my children. That pathology is different.
I didn't say that.
Okay, then do you, if you concede that they're the same, then what is there to question about it? If you are marking up,
if you're
marking up your skin, that tells me how much you regard your skin.
Yeah, because in my opinion, because I enjoy art, if I see someone with tattoos, I think, wow, that looks beautiful, that's amazing. I don't think, ugh, that's disgusting, you've destroyed yourself. I think, wow, you've improved. A lot of people think like that.
So when you see a woman with a chest tattoo that says child support or loyalty or something like that, you think that's art?
Well, no, because that's not creative.
So it is subjective.
Yeah. There are, of course, there's bad tattoos and there's good tattoos. Just like people who wear ugly
clothes. Is there a good reason? Wait a minute, but you've already stated that. What's the reason, the motivation for getting a tattoo? You're not even explaining what that is. How you keep your house matter, how you keep your kids matter, your body matters, but you're telling us that there's a good reason for getting a tattoo?
Yeah, some people get it for memories. Some people just want it because they want to decorate themselves.
Okay, I got it for memory. Why didn't you take a photograph? How in the world is marking your skin like that? And do you make a, since you talk about the tribes that tattooing and whatnot, how about the ones that do body decoration and put marks and skin and cut on their skin? How about them?
Scarification.
Is that the same category?
Well, scarification is a little bit more extreme, but if someone wants to do that to themselves, I'm not going to sit there and go, there's something wrong with you, because it's up to them. It's their skin.
Oh, my God.
You can't just sit there and go, there's something wrong with you just because they want to do something to their own bodies.
Okay,
none of your business,
I mean,
really.
Are you listening to yourself right now? So you're saying that scarification does not show any type of intellectual lack of capacity?
No. So the African women that stretch their lips and stretch their ears, they do it because in their culture, that's a sign of beauty.
They do it because they are oppressed.
They do it because
you don't even know
that's how
the difference is somebody oppressing you. That's just like the Muslim women running around with veils and hijab on. They do it because oppressed. Up your body and mark your body and destroy your shoulders with those damn rings on their necks that are not stretching their necks. They're just pushing their shoulders down. They're destroying their shoulders and wreck their ankles because this is the way that the males want you to be, and you're conforming to this, even though it's destroying your body. And you just said, well, it's part of the culture. Guess what? Slavery was part of the culture in America, too. Ambridge.
I just don't think you're very open-minded.
You know, a person can be so open-minded that the brain falls out. Now, you just said that that's their own body. You said it's their own body, and that's okay. What about abortion, since you wanted to ask me about that earlier?
Well,
certainly you're against that, then, if you believe people should be marking up their own bodies.
Abortion is a great option for certain circumstances.
Okay, if we can kill another person's body, I can scar up my own body because I own that, and I can kill another person's body because they're inside my belly. Wow.
Well, it's not actually killing a baby. If you know what abortion is, it's not actually killing a child.
Okay, do you know what abortion is?
Yeah, it's not even a... It's just a ball of cells, pretty much. It hasn't got
It's a ball of cells. Okay. Good answer.
It's nothing.
Please
it's
tell
tiny.
Now, at what point does it stop being, quote, a inviolable tissue mass? At what point does it stop being that?
Well, once it's actually formed into an actual baby, but they don't give abortions when it's at that point. If you look into abortions,
they don't tell me at what, ma'am, I'm asking a question. At what point is it no longer an inviolable tissue mass and a baby? At what point does that happen?
I don't know, like 6 months.
6 months. Okay, yeah. Why do you say at 6 months?
It's a guess. I just assume at that point.
Now, right now we have a nurse on the line right now, ma'am. We have a nurse who does this for a living. You're guessing your way through this. We have a nurse online who does this for a living. You're trying to guess your way and fabricate things. Why don't we actually know something? Now, I'm going to put this out there. Have you ever heard of the term premature?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the earliest that a premature baby can be delivered?
I don't know.
20 weeks.
Okay.
That's way before your 6 months, dear.
Okay. I was wrong.
Okay, whoa. No, you were not just wrong. You're murdering children and saying, oh, oops, them's the breaks. Happens. So you've given them license to kill a bunch of children, and you sat here and giggled and said, oh, I guess I was wrong. So we've got
dead
babies.
But it's not like no one died.
Dead babies in the dumpster behind the building. And you're sitting here giggling and saying, oh, well, my bad, I was out of bounds, my bad.
You're being dramatic.
What was it that I just said that was inaccurate? Then you can say dramatic. What was inaccurate? You don't know what they do with the body.
I've just gone and killed
you don't know
child.
What they, excuse me, what did I just say that was dramatic?
Because he was like, you're just making a big deal out of nothing.
Okay, you just said a big deal out of nothing. Tell me what was dramatic. I just listed a bunch of facts. What was the drama of what I listed? Because for it to be dramatic, that means that there was something in there that was exaggerated or untrue. Third time, tell me what was not factual of what I said or was exaggerated.
Well, it sounded dramatic. It might not technically be
dramatic, dear. He's showing you the gravity of what you just said because you don't even see it. You don't realize it.
Because I guessed.
It's beyond your guess, love.
That's my point. My point is that so far there's two things that you've been guessing your way through. You didn't know about liability, but you want to see the babies will die. You have a clear definition of understand what makes a baby, and then explain what happens after they have the abortion. You apparently think that's dramatic. You didn't know that they just take the bodies and just throw them in a dumpster? You didn't know that? But you're saying that black men in Britain are less intelligent than you. You were condescending about them, and yet you didn't know when babies are viable, and you didn't know that something as simple as they throw the bodies in a dumpster.
They're not like full-grown babies.
Okay, so what you mean is have to be a full-grown baby. So what you're saying is that if a woman delivers after 5 months and the baby is sitting in the maternity ward and they're kicking and squealing and flinching, that you say that she still has the option to terminate this life.
I'm not sure. I don't know if
so
she
what
can
you're
do
saying
that.
Is that after a woman has given birth, if it hasn't been 9 months, or in your case, if it's 4 or 6 months, even if the baby is outside of the womb, that the woman should have the ability to decide if the baby continues to, if this fetus, well, I guess it's not, fetus has been born, so she has the right to decide if this baby continues living, correct?
No. An abortion okay, is a termination of the pregnancy. Not, you can't give birth and then say, I want you to kill the baby.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, at what point does it start being a baby?
I said I don't know. We've already been around this.
Okay, you say I don't. Well, you said before 6 months. Now you're saying you don't know. Okay.
Because I said I guess. So obviously I don't know.
Can we all agree that you have a baby at 8 months, whether it's inside the womb or outside? Can we all agree on that?
Okay.
I'm asking you, can we all agree on that?
Okay, yes.
All right. So if your girlfriend, if you get pregnant and your boyfriend says, you know what, at 8 months, I don't want this baby, and he soccer kicks you in the gut, and baby is miscarried, should he be charged with murder or should he be charged with performing an abortion without a license?
I don't know. Yeah, it shouldn't really be murder, to be honest, because it's still a potential life. She could have had a stillbirth or it could have died.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have no regard for human life, dear. There's no no one. You really don't? Okay, well, that explains everything.
I think I'm slightly narcissistic.
Okay. Well, you know what? That would explain why you would say something like, most intelligent black women don't want a black man. I think you meant to say most narcissistic black women do not want a black man. Here's the problem. Most men have no need for a narcissistic woman of any color. So maybe the way that men treat you is a result of what they see oozing and dripping out of you.
I wasn't talking about myself.
I am.
I have my pick. I just choose not to.
I bet that they're running from you, to be honest. I bet they're all running from you.
If that's what you think.
But you're chalking it up to the problem is the men. They just can't. What you really should have said is they just can't handle a strong, independent, intelligent black woman.
As she picks
the ashes off her roach cigarette.
While exiting the abortion clinic.
And passed by the tattoo parlor.
What if the woman can't look after the child? What if she physically can't do it? She's mentally ill or she was raped?
Okay, those separate issues. We're asking here is that at what point we have a baby that needs to be protected, and you're saying, I don't want to ever declare that. First you said 6 months, then you said inside the belly, then you said outside, then you said inside, and now you're just basically saying, well, can you just make this a roving, moving target here, just whatever circumstances I need it to be under. Instead of saying what's best for the child, instead of saying what's best for society, you say get tattooed. Instead of saying what's best for the pool, you say smoke weed. And blunt it out, even though you can't show us one university on earth where the top school graduates and best doctors in the world are smoking weed. As a matter of fact, the worst ones who get arrested are the ones who do that. And this all goes back to that about the judgment that you are using in order to be able to make that decision.
I just think you're being really... I can't think of the words, but...
The word you're looking for is
logical. That's the word you're looking for.
It's because you just have this strange idea that people with tattoos are bad and people who smoke are bad. It's like...
I never said people with tattoos are bad. I never said that. You kept saying over and over again, you keep saying people with tattoos are bad. First of all, when a person had to make up things that were never said to argue against... That tells you that your argument isn't worth defending. Because your argument is something that wasn't even said. Excuse me, ma'am. You said that people who get tattoos are no good. I never said that, and you said it several times.
Oh, bet she has tattoos.
No, what I said was that why is it that people who have the least intelligence in society have the most tattoos?
That
people with the most criminal... Excuse me, ma'am. You're going to have to stop doing that. Because when I ask you questions, you don't say anything. And then when I start talking, you want to start talking. So if I ask a question, start talking then. If most of your convicts have tattoos, and you're sitting here saying, but that has nothing to do with getting tattoos. Most of your PhDs do not have tattoos. And you're saying that that has nothing to do with it. You just sat here and said life in the womb is relative and subject to whether you think a baby should die, but that has nothing to do with your mentality and mindset, nothing at all. And that the tattoos and your attitude toward tattoos and smoking weed have nothing to do with any of that.
It's just the way you're wording things is making it work in your favor.
Okay, so it's the way I'm wording it. You are so intelligent, but you can't word it in such a way that it's to work in your favor. I'm simply stating the facts. Yes, I have listened to you. That's why
you're
I'm
not.
Repeating your words. That's why I'm repeating your words back to you, and you're saying, no, you're cheating. How am I cheating? Because you keep tricking me by repeating my words. You're twisting my words by repeating them back to me.
No, you're saying the wrong things.
You keep your house. Does how you keep your house have anything to do with what kind of person you are?
I already said tattoos on people are attractive. That's it. Simple.
Okay. So what you're saying is that you find deviancy, scarification, and body desecration attractive.
Yes.
And you have a and you just said yes. And you have a right to that. But understand, you've just declared yourself.
Declared myself as what?
Yeah. Yeah. The fact you have to ask questions. That's problematic. But, you know what, I want to thank you for giving us a fully fleshed discussion on that. It's going to be way early in the morning over there.
I know, it's 3:30 in the morning.
See, but this was right here, so I'm sorry if I knocked you off your high or anything like that, because I just...
I don't really anymore, because it's expensive, and have to pay for, like, art stuff, so it's not really a big part of my life. I just believe in the benefits, the medical benefits of it, and I think people overlook it a lot.
Okay, so you smoke it for medical benefits?
Period pain.
That counts as a medical benefit. You can't just take some acetaminophen?
Right all.
They made those decades ago, but you say I passed right by the Midol and the buff. I went straight to the weed, because this is the only thing that's going to
ruin your kidneys. Those drugs, man-made drugs, are going to ruin your kidneys.
Okay, you don't have to take them for the rest of your life. You just take them for the week that you're cycling.
Well, why would I want to ruin my
kidneys? That's
not
going to... Okay, what is it weed's going to do to your brain cells?
Why are you going to inhale hot smoke?
Inhale a substance that kills brain cells, by the way.
It doesn't have to be hot. You can use ice in your bong and it's going to be cool. Or you can cook with it, and you can have cookies and cakes.
Okay, question here. What kind of business do you run?
Business?
Yes, ma'am. What kind of enterprise do you run?
I don't run one.
Okay,
study.
What kind are you starting?
I'm not going to.
Okay, you're not going to start a business, but boy, you can't tell us anything about starting a business and taking control of your life and stopping white supremacy, or should I say Anglo supremacy. But you can tell us the intricacies of setting up a bong, dealing with hot thermal issues inside the bong. We can make cakes and brownies and coffee with marijuana. You can tell us all the intricacies of using marijuana.
I can help people with cerebral palsy.
Okay, stop that. You can't tell us any of the intricacies of using marijuana, but you can tell us you can't tell us any of the intricacies of mastering the capitalist system, but you can tell us every in and out of using marijuana.
But you can't.
I can't what?
You don't know anything about medical marijuana.
Ma'am, I know all the lies that they tell of medical marijuana. And that's why I can sit here and tell you what's wrong with it. Yes, ma'am. They're all lies. Do you know how long that people have been... Medical marijuana was the wedge that they used to normalize its presence in society. There is nothing, 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 absolutely nothing, and every study has confirmed this, there is nothing that THC gives you that you cannot get from over-counter pharmaceuticals. Nothing. The only thing that marijuana gives you that those other drugs won't give you is a high. It will give you a high and a buzz.
Do you not know the side effects of pharmaceutical drugs?
They will give you a high that pharmaceutical drugs will not give you. That's
but
the only reason that you want marijuana.
Side effects of pharmaceutical drugs.
And what are the side effects of marijuana?
Sleeping.
Okay. Now, this is what she says. Sleeping? Excuse me, ma'am. How many car accidents a year happen because of being under the influence?
No one's died from smoking weed.
Yikes. I didn't say that. Okay.
Wow.
I said how many car accidents happen. Simple question. How many car accidents happen every year when the driver is intoxicated from marijuana? Simple question.
don't know, maybe like a couple hundred.
Okay, but before you sure that here and said it's not a problem, I didn't ask you about overdosing over marijuana. You see, you've got all the little talking points that all the liars have made up for 40 years, but those are not the right questions.
Why would they lie for 40 years?
The question is not, does marijuana kill you? The question is, does marijuana use kill? Does drinking beer kill you? No.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
drinking
it does, because it's poison.
Drinking beer does not kill you. Now, you can drink too much of it and for alcohol poisoning, but you would have to drink such a tremendous amount that you had no business doing that in the first place. And guess what? You can also suffer the same from marijuana, but nobody wants to talk about that either, by the way.
You can't
but
die
most people
from it.
Are never
going
to smoke enough that they could ever have that problem happen to them. Now, the point about beer is that you can become intoxicated, and that is the number one killer of people on the road. Guess what started happening in Colorado since they legalized marijuana there? Guess what started happening now? Oh, she doesn't want to talk about that now. She doesn't want to talk about what's happening on the roads in Colorado now since they legalized marijuana. She doesn't want to say anything about that. Now, she
you haven't
it.
Said anything about any of the positive things, though. You've
okay,
said one
so
thing that
tell
is
me,
bad.
Please tell me the positive side of marijuana legalization for the family that's buried their children getting run over by an intoxicated driver. Tell me the upside to them.
Money. I'm pretty sure Colorado, the state, is making a lot of money now.
Ma'am, I just asked about the family. I asked about the family who's burying their kids, and you just said the state's making money.
That's
what about the
festival.
Family burying their children?
You don't. How many people who high killed someone on the road?
Ma'am,
how many people are there in Colorado?
That's a good question. Let me ask you a better question. How many deaths are acceptable for you?
Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
No, ma'am. I said, how many deaths are acceptable for you from marijuana use? For marijuana intoxicated drivers, how many people getting killed by one acceptable to you?
I just told you, 100,000.
Hundreds. Oh my God.
When 100,000
one
deaths,
person dies,
yes.
Why does that make any difference to anyone?
I'm not sure if she means 100,000 people or whether she means one out of 100,000. So do you mean 100,000 people dead or one out of 100,000? How many? What are you saying exactly?
You can't say, oh, because one person died, oh, let's make it illegal and create a black market. Like, that makes a difference. This is so ridiculous. There's so much things you can do with this. You can make paper out of hemp. You can make clothes. You can even build houses out of hemp.
Okay. Were you saying that 100,000 people dying due to intoxicated marijuana drivers is acceptable for you?
Well, maybe 30,000.
Okay, so 30,000 people dying from intoxicated marijuana drivers, you think that would be acceptable?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I think it's like 17,000 die a year of tobacco, yet that's still legal. So.
Okay. Now, did you just make a case for legalizing weed, or did you just make a case for removing tobacco?
To be honest, I think you should legalize all drugs, because there isn't any point having illegal and legal drugs.
Okay, so you think that we should legalize cocaine?
Yeah, you should.
Okay, do you think we should legalize mota? Please stop doing that.
I'm sorry.
I understand you're shy, you're on your heels. I get it, but
it's all about the education.
We're going someplace. If you think that they should legalize cocaine, do you also believe that they should legalize PCP?
Well, yeah. I mean,
okay. Do you know what? Okay, now you just asked me before about do I know about marijuana? Do you know what PCP is?
Isn't it something like bath salts, the same sort of thing?
PCP is a hallucinogenic. There was a rapper here, a semi-rapper here in the United States named Big Lurch in Texas. Lurch was using PCP. He thought he heard the devil one night, so he picked a paring knife and slapped the devil to ribbons. Turns out the devil was girlfriend. He ripped open her gut, yanked out her intestines, and they found him running down the street ass naked. Parts of his girlfriend on him.
Okay.
That's
Can
what
I just
PCP,
say something?
That's what PCP does. Could you imagine any mother taking PCP and saying, well, it's legal, and you're going to give them the ability to use cocaine, PCP, heroin, or whatever else, cocaine, which contributes to dementia and psychopathy and paranoia. How many people have been killed or murdered somebody in cocaine-induced frenzies? And you're saying let's legalize that too, even if you got children. So mom has done three lines. Mom has done three lines, and Aaliyah says, I don't know why we should stop that and make it legal.
Okay, right. You're missing something very important. By making something illegal doesn't automatically make it disappear. It just creates a black market, okay?
Okay.
So there isn't
by that definition, by that definition, we should never illegalize anything. Because by your definition, if, well, it's not going to go away if we make it illegal. By that definition, we should make murder legal. Because we got laws since Cain and Abel against murder, and yet people are successfully killing each other, even going to death row every year, knowing that they will go to death row, and they do it anyway. So by that definition, since making murder illegal hasn't stopped it, we should just make rules for murder. If you catch your girlfriend cheating on you, that's fair game. If you catch your boyfriend at the casino, that's fair game. If you catch that 17-year-old kid across the street in the basement with your daughter, that's fair game. Right?
Well, laws, morals, they're subjective.
Okay, that's not about morals. You just said that we can't stop people from using drugs. We just drove the use underground. We've got laws against murder. That didn't stop murder from happening. That just made people purchase illegal weapons or use a knife or a brick or whatever was at hand. So all you did was drive murder underground. So why don't we just get like the Wild West or the old days of dueling, where if you get mad at somebody, you told them make 10 paces and draw. Why don't we just go back to that then? Or your girlfriend looked at me funny. I'm going to plug her. Take 10 paces and draw. And remember, we're in an equal society now, so women will be required to take 10 paces and draw just like the men.
You still
okay, well, you're driving it underground, so why don't we just take all the people who are underground out of the closet? No more gang members at drive-by shootings anymore. Let's have an approved place or an approved manner in which people can kill each other. Because all these laws against murder hasn't stopped it.
Oh, and to the person in the chat, incest is actually legal in France.
Okay, ma'am, you're subject hopping. If PCP is going to be legal, just remember, because you didn't think it over before you said it, I'll legalize all drugs, including others who are using PCP.
Because it doesn't make a difference if it's legal or illegal. It's education. If you teach young children about these different drugs, what they do, the effects of it, then they can decide for themselves. I mean, someone with half a brain will realize, oh, let's not take heroin. It's going to kill me eventually.
Okay, if we arrest a mother who's using cocaine today, she will never have the chance to flip out in a hallucinogenic episode and kill her child or drive off to the river with her three children. So under the current laws, we can stop those kids from being killed today. So what you're saying is that what you said before, I want my weed so bad that I'm willing to sacrifice other people's lives. Other drugs, you're just acceptable losses. Collateral damage. I got my weed.
If someone was there to help the woman, instead of putting her in prison, if someone was there to give her support and
okay,
to get
we have
her,
to find her first.
Drug,
but we have to find her first, and it doesn't take a bunch of episodes for her to flip out. She only needs one to flip out, kill her kids. Not five, just one. And you're saying, well, we'll get her back to the hospital in enough time before she has the one. How many of those people are you willing to sacrifice so you can keep your weed?
That's going to happen anyway.
Last word.
Because it's not going to disappear. Whether it's legal or illegal, it's not going to disappear. It's still going to happen.
Now, to remember, are you going to restrict that to just drugs? That it still happens. Making it illegal didn't stop it, so why are you stopping it just drugs? Why don't we expand it to other things, too? Why are you giving drugs a special status? Why not other things?
Because that's the topic, drugs.
No, man, I was talking about other things, too, as far as murder. Why don't we put that on the table, too? How about rape?
So why is morphine legal, then?
Morphine is legal because it is a, quote, controlled substance.
But it comes from the same poppy, just like opium and heroin.
Yes, it comes from one place, but we make it where you can only, but you can only get it in one place.
So?
Just like Quaaludes, we restricted the way that could be made so that you could only get it in one place. Because there are legitimate uses for morphine for the more extreme pieces, but there's a place in this world for narcotics. I'm on my period, not one of them.
That's your opinion. I'd rather do that than take 8 paracetamols, which my doctor said was unhealthy for me, when I could just chill out, relax, and have something to eat. It doesn't do any... That's the thing. When you take pharmaceuticals, there's always going to be a side effect. But when you...
There's not always a side effect.
Well, the ones I prescribed from my doctor, the side effects was sickness, nausea, diarrhea, all these things
But the weed don't bother you at all. The weed's got no side effects. Weed's got no side effects. It's not anything. We found the only one that's illegal is the one that gives you no side effects. The only one that gets you high and gives you a buzz, that's the one that you say you have no problem with. Isn't that great? The one that you don't have a problem with also gets you high. Isn't that convenient?
Have you ever even been high, or?
No, because I don't want to sound like this.
No. So you don't actually know what it's like. You're not
because
fly into the air. It's nothing like
by
that.
By the definition that I can't speak about being high because I've never been high. By that definition, that also means I couldn't speak about rape because I've never raped anybody. Or I couldn't speak about drinking mop water or toilet water because I've never drunken any before. By that rationale. And by that rationale, you cannot speak about anal sex if you've never done it. I didn't say had it. I said done it. You can't speak on that either. By that rationale that you just gave us.
Well, I've never had it, so I don't know.
Okay, then you shouldn't be able to speak on any of those things whatsoever. So I'll see
well,
you with
I don't.
The mop.
I just say if you want to do that to your body, then do it. It's not my problem.
But yeah, but you also expanded that to abortion, too, which is somebody else's body. That
selective
morality that you have,
to.
I want to suggest something to you here. That selective morality that you have, that might be the real reason why you're not as keen, why black not as keen as you might want them to be. Just
well,
the part.
It doesn't really bother me too much because they're not physically attractive to me anyway.
I wonder why.
I just don't like their face, personally.
Okay, I wonder why that is.
It's just my preference.
I think you're a young kid. I think you have a lot to learn. A lot to learn.
I think you have something to learn, too.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I'm just not going to learn them here. By the way, very good about David Cameron. That was the one thing that you were sure about.
I'm sure about the medical.
It was also, you're sure about it, you're just incorrect. The difference is, unlike David Cameron, you're incorrect about that one. But be good about David Cameron, here's the thing, if you would apply that kind of in-depth investigation to some of this other stuff, you wouldn't have such a hard time with black men. They would show more interest. Cause
I don't want that interest, though.
Here's the problem. I wouldn't care if you had a PhD in everything under the sun. If that PhD comes along with all that baggage you just brought with you, it ain't worth it.
It doesn't really bother me because I don't go for them anyway, so it's irrelevant.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's the other way around.
It's really not. It's really not, trust me.
All we have is your word for it. and what we've heard here tonight. But you know what? I want you to stick around with us here, okay? I think you're
going to
be able to pick up a lot of good points here. But thank you very much for giving us a call, and please do check back in with us again. Melissa, can you prescribe something for me?
A padded room.
Yeah, yeah, that was...
She doesn't realize she's fundamentally suicidal.
I think that she missed so many markers. Somebody in that family has missed so many markers of so many problems that we've heard. I mean, there's a difference between attention whoring stuff that's dangerous. And she just went down the checklist of everything dangerous. And that's why I wanted to make sure I wasn't jumping on you. I just want to make sure everybody heard everything she was saying. Because
yeah.
That's downright frightening. Do you all understand that she has the ability to get pregnant? She's 18. And she just told you that I have no problem with threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, abortions, every drug on the face of the planet, driving while intoxicated, scarification, tattooification, effication, everything is on the table. Is your 18-year-old black womanhood in Britain, not in America, in Britain? So I'll get me a black woman from overseas, go the other side of the world. That's what's waiting for you in Britain. That's what's waiting for you. You think that we still have, the other caller asked, why is it we do what we do? Understand something, because the illness is spreading.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody said I'm sterilizer. Those are my padded room and a tubal ligation. She just went down the gauntlet of every destructive, anti-life behavior possible and just said everything is okay. Nothing should be... I've never heard something like that.
And that's the next generation coming up now. That's the next one. I just wanted everybody to hear that so they couldn't say that I went short. You didn't let her make out her thoughts. You didn't let her flesh out everything. You didn't let her explain everything in full. We didn't quite understand. I went back and asked about 100,000 thing. First, she said 100,000. Then she said, yeah, maybe that's too many. How about just 30? And you know what? That's perfectly fine. Unless you're one of the 30. Then what? I'm shocked. I'm scarred. I'm scarred.
My soul hurts. Like, I was listening, going, did she just say 100,000 people could die and that's okay? I was hoping it was one in 100,000, but no, 30. Abortion, yeah, 8 months? I don't know. I don't know if it's murder. Oh, my God, man. Ugh. That's one for the record books.
Yeah, that was. I mean, and I try to put these out there because people need to understand. I could sit here every week and just let nothing but calls end up agree with me. I could do that. But you all would not understand the extent and the depth of the problem that we face. That's not a problem call. That was a crisis. That was a crisis call. She's 18 years old. She shows up pregnant. Can you all imagine what's going to happen next? She can tell us nothing about economics, nothing about building. She can tell us the annotated history of tattoos, scarification, and weed. Now, those things she knows in depth. Building and economy, she has no respect for building and economy. How can you tell me that she has respect for a black man who's doing it?
I imagine her being responsible for another human being.
Can you imagine her teaching her son how to be a mover of wealth and power in Britain?
No, he'll be like a pothead abortionist. I mean, what else do you raise with that type of mindset? But a drug addict who has no problem taking life.
She's going to say that my body will do with it what I want. I mean, next up, bastard babies. Council housing. For those of you who don't know what council housing is in Britain, that's the projects. Next step, bastard babies and council housing. And she will tell you all that using your tax dollars, that's just me using my body. I mean, I can do what I want to.
Yeah, why not? I'm just expressing myself. It's art.
I was expressing myself at the taxpayer's expense. That's what you're up against. Grab a couple of more phone calls here. Caller from the 443. Thank you very much for your patience. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 443, last try. You're on live Black Channel. Okay, caller from 443 will not be joining us. Caller from 843, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, this is Tobias calling out of Phoenix. What's going on?
Black first, brother. What's on your mind?
Man, how do I follow that up? Good gracious. All right. Before I get to my point, I remember last time I was reading, Colorado did not make a whole lot of money from selling weed. Pretty much, in short, the people who want to smoke weed are going to smoke weed. The majority of us who don't aren't going to do it anyway. Also, to that caller, all you got to do is have employers just say, I don't want you having marijuana in your system. The medical industry say you work at a hospital, you can't smoke, period. I don't care if it's outside, at the house, you're smoking, you're out the door. So employers should have rules in place for that. But the thing I wanted to touch on is that I don't believe a lot of people understand power and money the difference. And it really hit me. I post a couple of times on your page, people talk about stuff, and that line from House of Cards where Kevin Spacey's character, Frank Underwood, said, and it's kind of messed up, he said to the black guy, because the black guy chose the money option. He said, a lot of people don't understand the difference between money and power. I'm paraphrasing. He said, money is like that big house, that big mansion in Sarasota that falls apart after 10 years. But power is as an old stone building that lasts for years and years and years. And I don't respect any, how can I respect anyone who does not understand that? Makes so much sense, you know?
I agree. Power is a very important thing. And integrity is something that's important, too. Integrity is something that's very important. And I think that that's lacking on the previous call, would you say?
Oh, it is. And I'm 35. I never smoked weed. I never smoked a cigarette. I drink, but I'm not a heavy drinker. I like wine. You know, I like stuff like that. But it's that the problem is it's these priorities. Look at how many black people fighting for the right to smoke weed. And I'm thinking to myself, don't you know that they want you to smoke weed to keep you inebriated, keep you bogged down, not thinking for yourself? That's what they want.
What do you think of people who don't maintain their integrity as far as sticking to their principles? What do you think about that?
I have no respect for that. I respect the person. I may agree with them or not. I don't, you know, I don't have to agree with a person, but I respect the fact they stick by what they feel is right. And I feel like as a grown-up, you got to stick by what's right, stick by your conviction. And I respect the person where I know where they're coming from. I see these people that's always switching around, you know.
Right, and that's the problem that with a lot of stuff that goes on. Because, you know, on that call and other places, keeping people consistent has been a problem. And, I mean, I want you to speak for yourself, though, is that really at the root of it there, what do we do about, I mean, when you meet somebody who is just blatant that, you know, they're all over the place, they have a bunch of core convictions, they believe one thing one moment, they're believing stuff when it's convenient, we're bouncing all over the place, 100,000, 30,000, 80,000 on weed, you know, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, thinking for myself, I never place too much faith in people because I place more faith in myself than any other person. So I never get let down by people. But what I say is that if you're not feeling that person, where they're coming from, you don't have to listen to that person, not to associate with that person. Now, I don't, like with people I listen to, I don't agree with everything they say. But I can always take some things from it. I say, okay, that's, I can apply that. But again, I never go around, I never like gonna get let down. I just look at people as people.
I'm very glad to hear that. I'm hoping that you see me as people too.
Yeah. Hey, can I bring up one thing real quick? Now,
and I hope you see Melissa as people. I hope you see Melissa as people also.
Yeah, I see people as people. And
I mean, like, no, I didn't ask you that. I said, I hope you see me and Melissa as people.
Yeah.
That's good. because the last time I heard you, Tobias, you didn't have very many kind things to say about us. If you like, I can play it back for if you like, sir, I can play back for what you said right now, if you'd like. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, the field kind of changed, and certain people that you might have been supporting found themselves in a difficult spot, and some of the things you were saying to them, you might not want people hearing you say it now, because integrity is at the heart of this issue. I hope all the niggers go to jail. But I'm not one to hold a grudge, Tobias. So, of course, you're welcome to be here anytime. Because I'm not one to hold a grudge. Especially when people are talking about me behind my back. Unlike them, I don't hold a grudge about that kind of thing. Don't be surprised if you turn up in a video somewhere. But I don't hold a grudge about that, brother. I don't. You bet on the wrong horse. You bet big on the wrong horse. Welcome back to the Black Channel. I'll let you have last word.
Well, that's why I was saying about people, because I never, if someone has to say this, if I felt like someone did someone right, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, man, Chris let me down. I don't persist personally myself. If I said anything bad, like, I don't remember, but if I did, I apologize. And if they say anything they felt as offense, I apologize. I'd be mad enough to say that.
I'm very happy to hear that, Tobias.
But so sometimes people say such may not find offense, but I have a warped sense of humor. People know that about. But there was one thing I wanted to bring up. Was that because I'm a big comic book geek, people know that. And I love the Black Panther comic. And I remember someone asked me, why they never put a Black Panther movie out? And I said, it's a simple answer. It means people don't comprehend. People don't know, yes, they know the African King and all that, but people don't know is that what made Captain America feel, they fought hard for that, and they protected their land, and they controlled their land. And I said, people don't understand how stuff's influential like that, and I'm saying that if you see that, it may start influencing people. They don't want to put that out there. They want to keep putting people that supporting their life, so how should I say the fit role?
Well, I would like to see Black people make better use of all their sources, and I'm doing a lot of investigation as far as what we're doing in Africa, because ultimately, that's the goal is to take control of our homeland. A people cannot be a people without their identity, and I talked about cell phone towers last night, but I also want to get into other things like camera equipment, because. And when I have a chance, I'm going to go into that in depth. We're missing a lot of opportunities here. We are missing a metric ton of opportunities. And I am hoping that we are getting to a point right now where we're going to start the process of capitalizing on those opportunities. I'm hoping we are. I can't guarantee it, but I'm certainly hoping that we're going to be able to do that. At least I'm hoping we're seeing the beginning of Black folk, particularly Black men, because it's going to begin with us. Because we're the builders, we're the protectors, and what we build is our job to protect it with our fists and our fists if we have to. So I'm hoping we're getting to a point where we start dealing with that in a serious way. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and one thing about that is that the problem I see it is that too many people play it safe, not enough risk takers out. And we all know if you don't take a risk, you're not going to go anywhere in life. Maybe start in business, start a new career, maybe moving. And I noticed that in the military, so many guys are thinking that this tech is going to be there forever, but over the next 5 years, they're cutting 20-something thousand people each year. And these people aren't getting that retirement. And everybody's scared because they really thought that they could do 20 years, get a check, and move on. And I kept telling my airmen under me, do not depend on this. And I said, well, me, I got my degree and I got plans for my life. When I'm done in a couple of months. But people, I'm walking away at 12 years. I was going to walk away if I got injured. But so many people was like, why you don't do the other 8? And I thought to myself, why in the hell would I do something for 8 years that I don't want to do? Why would I hold my life up for 8 years? Why would I wait till I'm 44 to do something now at 35? Why would I do that? Actually, 43, 44, depending on the time of the military, my contract, you know. But it's just that so many people are trying to influence us, staying at the factory forever, doing the job forever. But these guys are cutting and breaking contracts, paying you $50,000 and saying, go on with your life. And I see so many people are being afraid. Well, I'm not afraid because I made plans. But it's just something I noticed. Too many players say people.
Well, life is what happens while we're making plans. I mean, personally, I think you probably should have finished the other 8 if for nothing to just make sure. I mean, that's guaranteed money at that point. But, I mean, that's a personal decision. I mean, you might just get appointments like, man, look here. I'm going to go out like Fort Hood if they make me stay another 8 years. So, I mean, it's a decision that you have to make for yourself and just make sure that you're able to make a decision that you can live with. As long as it's not putting you backwards, I'm okay with it. The thing is, you at least had a plan. The difference is you actually had a plan. These fellas here, who you were talking about, I don't even think they have a plan.
They don't. And I tell you what happens. You know this. They always talk about it's hard to find a job, if these guys get out and retire. And I'm like, what did they do while they was in? I'm like, you got 20 years. If you want to stay in 20, that's a prerogative. But what in the hell are you doing for 20 to 30 years that you're trying to prepare yourself for life outside of?
For drinking and dancing and tricking off money and getting bastard babies and everything else. That's what they were doing.
And you know what else? And I tell people, I don't have a wife or kid, never marry anything like that. I don't have a steady girlfriend. I'm too busy right now. And I said, if I had that, that would hold me back. And I said, making a career change, starting a business, that stuff takes time and money. And I don't have to worry about feeding miles. And I said, that's a sacrifice that many guys haven't made. A lot of these guys come in married, they got kids, and they're stuck. And that's just something, and I observed that over the years. And my parents always taught me that, to always have this stuff together before you start a family. That's not fair to that woman, and especially those kids, if I didn't have it together.
Well, you certainly hope so. Like I say, they spend a lot of time wasting a lot of money is what they do. Because when they get military, I mean, they tell them we're going to take care of you, your family, your kids, legitimate or otherwise. And a lot of guys just kind of go hog wild with it, in all honesty. They didn't really have the maturity that they did. I mean, they really didn't have the maturity that they needed before they went in. And unfortunately, the military gives them the ability to indulge a lot of their responsibilities that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford outside the military. So that's the real thing. They kind of lose the ability to be able to do that. So that's really what kind of happens there. That's really what happens.
That's the truth, because I joined at 23 because I got tired of working at a grocery store making $7.50 an hour, you know. And I came a little older, and first thing I did was got sent overseas. You got the women, the drinking, you got the living in the dorm, like the room and board paid for. But what happens if you get injured or you get one DUI, you're out the door. They could break your contract. It's a lot of things because you're a number. And I'm going to tell you this. The other reason I didn't want to stay, because I just didn't agree with what's going what how they do things. I'm not going to work for somewhere where I don't agree to do things. And they're and like my supervision, they resent me for that because they resent the fact that I'm pretty much done with college, was going to walk away. So they felt like I need them. They look down on people who don't need them. And there's so many people that need them right now. And that's why I understand. Now, I may not have the book power, but I have the power to say walk away and I'll be fine.
Where as time closes in here, we're going to have fewer and fewer people who have the ability to do that. And to be totally honest with you, it's really going to be a situation where it's going to require, you're going to have a depression-style event before the masses of people actually say, whoa, this stuff is real. That's just the bottom line. Us talking to them is not changing the ones who want to go down the wrong road, you know. That's not changing anything. That's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to convert them. I'm just trying to hold up a beacon for the people who get it. Everybody doesn't, hey, you're on your own. Real talk. Because it's not like everybody can't see what the problem is. The question is how many people are going to treat this like the deadly situation it is, and how many people are just going to sit there and say, hey, I can just play around with it. How many people are going to do that? That's the real question.
Yep, that's the truth. And I know you got other callers, so I'd like to get to them and everything.
Oh, I'm actually enjoying your calls, Bias.
Oh, I haven't talked to you in a while. Yeah.
Usually a very lively person.
I am. But you know one thing I also want to bring up as I'm here? I'm a big wrestling fan. And someone adopted a notion, I said, people don't understand what Vince McMahon is doing. Might be potentially game-changing with the WWE Network. Because I was saying that, look at it this way, because you know many people are dropping cable, right? And for $10 a month, he controls all his content. He controls that stuff. And it's getting passed down to his family. And I was telling people, just look at how this is going, because best believe other networks are looking at this, seeing how he makes out in this before they may do the same thing.
The whole world is watching exactly how this works out with WWE. It's basically what we're watching. We don't know what's going to happen. This could blow up in the faces like the XFL did. You know, that's totally something that could occur. We don't know what's going to happen. This is new uncharted territory. He's one of the prime people to do it, and I hope it succeeds because television and pay-per-view are just too much for smaller operators. And the more that big guys get into internet, that's a level playing field that everybody can be on. So if a big operator like him moves from focusing on pay-per-view to focusing on internet, that would make things better for all of us. The more premium content from multi-million-dollar operations like him, Netflix, Amazon, that move online, better it makes it for all of us, you know, who are doing our stuff on the internet, including just this little broadcast right here. The more eyeballs people like him bring to the internet and away from TV, the better it is. So I can't possibly argue with that at all. I think that's an excellent thing. That's why when I heard Netflix was going to invest $100 million in the original programming, I told everybody, this is great. This is exactly what we want. They're drawing eyeballs away from HBO and away from Showtime and away from CBS and putting them on the internet. And that the more people who are gravitating to the internet, anything on network TV, and you don't have anything on network or cable TV, but you do have stuff on the internet. So if I choose one of those two places, I've got a chance of getting some of his customers over here. I don't have any chance on network TV.
And what else? Also, the biggest thing is you control your content. You control it. Fox won't have to tell you what to do. CBS can't tell you what to do. You control everything yourself. Will it ever become a multi-blockbuster like some of this stuff? Maybe, maybe not. But at least you control your content and its use. And that's what really matters.
Tobias, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your opinion of me?
I look at you as a blogger. I didn't know. It's like I've seen your videos and stuff online. I just said that's your opinion. Keep it moving. what happens is I never, like, got emotionally invested into you like that. I just said that's your opinion. I know a lot of women got mad at you, but I just, like, okay, if they don't like it, heck, because I've seen people, like, racist on YouTube, white racists on YouTube. I just keep it moving. I never get that emotionally involved. I make crack jokes. That's just me. But I don't get emotionally involved. And nor do I try to participate in it. So I just try to stay out of the way.
You just try to stay out of the way.
I try. And
that's very
interesting. I try. And that's why a lot of times I just go off. It's like there have been times where I just dropped off because I didn't want to be brought into it because of me. I try to crack jokes. I try to answer questions, and I end up being in the middle of stuff.
Yeah, that's real easy to see happen occurring, isn't it?
And that's why I dropped off for a bit, because I didn't want to be in the middle of anybody's stuff.
Yeah, the real problem is when we allow other people to bring us into the middle of something. That's where the real problem occurs, because some people don't have a problem with smearing somebody as long as they get to yuck it up with people. And even when they're smearing an innocent person who hasn't done anything wrong, sometimes people tend to have group contagion. And the problem with group contagion is that group contagion is perfectly fine when you're cheering at a football game. Not so fine when five other people are tearing the clothes off the neighbor's 13-year-old daughter. Not quite okay once that starts happening.
Yeah, and the reason I stay off that stuff because I've always been a tight. Like I said, I may crack a joke and stuff, and but at the same time, I drop off because I don't want people thinking, oh, man, anything, especially if I don't know what really went on. That's why a lot of times the stuff happens, I'm out. And I always say, if I piss somebody off, hey, I just apologize. If I, you know, a lot of times you don't know you piss somebody off.
What do you know about my personal life, Tobias?
What do I know about it?
Sir?
You said, what do I know about it?
Yes, sir.
I just know what I've seen on the internet. And I just like, And I look at that broadcast.
Well, you do understand that when you start chiming in and rah-rahing and cheering somebody who's attacking somebody else for no reason whatsoever, you do understand that at that point you become an accomplice. Because on my broadcast, I made a point, and it upset some people, that when they start asking me questions about other people, unless it's about something that I said, I don't comment about other people. I don't rah-rah, I don't jump in. If they attack somebody, I jump in there with them. I make it a point that my broadcast stays me-centric. You don't see me going on week after week or month after month about somebody else. And because if I went along with it and cheered that, then I'm accomplice to that. Now, where Barack Obama is concerned, I am guilty as charged. I'll sign on to that one any day of the year, whatever occurs. But two types of collaboration, silence and cheering. A religious leader from World War II once said in response to certain countries claiming that they were neutral on the war that the hottest corners of hell are reserved for those who witness atrocities while maintaining their neutrality. But Melissa, I think he thinks you're a wonderful individual. Isn't that right, Tobias?
Hey, I don't know her personally. I don't have any ill will towards Lee.
Now, you see, Melissa, everything's just fine now, isn't it?
It's just peachy.
How's the Mrs., Tobias?
What's that?
How's the Mrs.?
You said Mrs.?
Yes, sir.
I'm single.
Oh, things have changed. Huh. That's interesting.
Oh, no, I'm single.
I didn't mean that you were married. No, I didn't mean that you were married, no.
Oh, okay.
I meant Mrs. Tobias.
Oh, no, no. I'm not married, no. I just date, and nothing serious. I don't have time for anything serious.
Oh, good. Well, I shouldn't say good, but I'm just saying if you're comfortable with that, we certainly wouldn't want that to occur. Because I say Melissa, of course, is of our dear colleague here, and I certainly want to make sure that that you get along with her very well, because she certainly wants to get along with you, and I wouldn't want anybody feeling that they were ostracized in any way, because, of course, that would lead to harmful frustration, and that would be difficult to have. Some people got upset because I said that the only person who can speak on black society is a black man, and the only person who can speak on the black woman is the black man who is with the black woman. So some people apparently want to try to take offense at that and take shots at people on my broadcast because they didn't like the fact that I said that. And I just know that you wouldn't want to be part of something like that, because that would be a heinous and atrocious thing for somebody to try to attack somebody who's done nothing to them because you're upset with something T.J. said. And I know Tobias would never want to support somebody who was doing something like that.
And you know, you feel that way, you believe that, that's all right, you know.
That's good. I'm sure that if other people have questions for you about that, I'm certain that they'll be glad to know that you've made a principled stand today.
Now, one thing, though, is I may not, you know, we're adults. I may not agree with everything, but I respect what your stance is.
I may not agree, but I respect your position. That's interesting.
Yeah, because everyone has a right to, everyone has their own fundamental belief. And I believe, it's just like I'm not religious, but if someone's Christian, I may not agree with it, but I respect.
Do you believe that we can build a black family without a black man and a black woman both being in the equation?
I don't believe mixed people are black. That's how I look at it. So the answer would be no. And
you don't believe mixed people are black?
Well, I look at it like this. I believe that if someone tells me, let's say if I married a non-black woman and we had kids. Now, I don't want children. I really don't. But let's say if I did, that means I'm not in a black family by your standards. But I feel right, and I just feel like my first priority is my wife and my kids. But I have
right.
black
what about, Do you yep. feel you have a priority to black people?
Well, I have younger black male cousins that I've taken under my wing and everything like that. We're helping them out with building their careers, all that kind of stuff. So I believe I can still be a good relative and mentor for them.
What is your obligation to black people?
My obligation is to, well, I just say my obligation is to build a great life for myself so I can be an example and actually show them as well, the ones who want to learn.
Okay, you don't believe that you have an obligation to the legacy of black people?
I do believe I have a legacy, and my legacy is doing something that many haven't, is be able to put myself in a better position in life and help those around me.
All right, but I mean, you said to be able to help the people around you. Are black people a priority when you say the people around you, or are they just part of the landscape?
That's actually a priority because I really focus more on trying to help black people. I live in Phoenix, there's a couple, but you got to look around for them. But I do want to help black people.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Why are mixed people not black?
I just believe that black, white, Now, personally myself, if I dated interracially, yeah, my last serious girlfriend was a black woman. So it's just that whoever It's just whoever I like at the moment. But it's just the fact that I just believe that my family is my family. And that means that I'm not in the community anymore because my family may be mixed. I have to live with that.
If we have a child and, for example, their mother is black and their father is white, if the child tells you that I'm mixed, but I identify as a black person, even though I may be carrying a preponderance of non-black genes, my identity is black. I do not have a mixed identity. I do not have a mixed rationale within myself. I am a black person. I'm not mixed. I'm black. I recognize my blackness, not my mixedness. I recognize my blackness. At that point right there, if that person has made it clear that they have declared what they are, at that point, how do we disqualify that?
Good point. Well, I got a question, though. Yeah, good point there.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on a second. I understand I have a good point, but I'm saying explain to me how do you disqualify their blackness then? At that point, if they said this is where I stand, how do we disqualify them as black? Explain that to me. That's what I need to find out.
That's what they believe they are. That's what they are.
Because here's the problem with this scale of blackness that people try to use as far as mixed is concerned. The problem with saying that somebody who is mixed is, quote, not black and why it's ridiculous is because, let's just be honest, Negroes just use that as a political tool to try to disqualify people that they have some type of political difference with. It's not actually a biological absolute. Because how do we define what is black? I had one person try to tell me, if you're 75% black, you're 50% black. But understand something. I don't care what percentage you use. The next question becomes, how did you quantify that percentage? What test did you use? How do we determine who is 75% black? Who is 80%? Who's 50%? How do we even determine that? We can determine that a person has black genealogy. We can determine that. We can determine that you don't have the absence of blackness, but we cannot determine exactly how much the presence is. We can't do that. We can look for certain markers that might indicate if a person has any relevant non-African genes in them, non-African DNA. We can determine that, but we cannot determine the percentage of which are black or African or whatever you want to call it. We can't determine that. All we can do is rule out that the person is not African. We can rule that out, but we cannot rule out the percentage. We can't do that. So at that point, we're in quagmire because Nelson Mandela was lighter skinned than I am. Nelson Mandela was lighter skinned than me. And yet, is there anybody who thinks that TBA is more African than Nelson Mandela was? Anybody? Even at the genetic DNA level, does anybody think that I'm more African than the Khoisan? I certainly hope not. So when we start making those arbitrary things where we say, well, any racial admixture disqualifies you as black, we get off into a real, real sticky situation real quick. That's the problem I have with it, because nobody will sit down and explain to me how they quantify the percentage of your blackness. They don't do that, and they won't do it. What they do is they find somebody that they have a problem with, and in the case of, some high yellow mixed chicks who might be on the phone right now, if they have a problem with them because she won't, I don't know, return their calls, then they might sit up here and say something like, well, you're not black even though you didn't have a problem with them 6 months ago. They were black enough then, and all of a sudden one day they weren't. That's a political tool, and political machinations are worthless. Black people, our vote is worthless today because everybody pulls political machinations on us. Our vote is worthless because one day you can follow Barack Obama, who's against gay marriage, and then the next month he's for it and still voted for him. Your vote is worthless because you allowed it to be manipulated. It's not based on a principle that does not change. It's based upon the popularity of the person speaking. We can't determine our biology that way. By that measurement, we have to accept Eminem as black. If the criterion is allowed to move every day, we have to accept him too. You have no choice. Somebody who has no African blood can qualify as an African if you allow the qualification to change day to day based upon who you like and who you don't. So you see, if Eminem is more popular than TVA, then guess who gets to be black and guess who isn't? As crazy as it sounds, guess who gets to be black and guess who doesn't? That's the problem with allowing people to put us in that trick bag. Because once you're in there, brother, you're in there. You ain't getting out. Once you make a declaration, just like the young lady who called, Aaliyah called in earlier, once you make that declaration, man, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Because once you put that out there, where I stand, people are going to remember that. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be Mr. Black first. For the rest of my days. Once you declare the things, we have to be very, very careful. I understand your position on that. What I'm going to say is I want you to think that over for a little while as far as who we can consider and on what criteria we're disqualifying people. That's the thing that we need to look at. Because if we're disqualifying people based on a personal kudo or based on some arbitrary status, how is that going to be reliable? How do we reliably apply that to other people? Because even you, your white girlfriend and everything, if y'all have children and whatnot, she, while you can't say that they are pure African, and she certainly can't say they're pure white or whatever, technically speaking, genealogically speaking, they have, this is not a matter of genes. This is a matter of their racial identity and with whom are, because they're capable of carrying on the human race. The question is, with whom are you going to side? Or are you trying to figure out how it can just exist and I don't take a side? That's the part that becomes dangerous. Because you say that I don't take a side, you're against the Africans at this point. Why? Because the Europeans have the power, wealth, and influence. They can force you to take a side. And if you don't have principles that say, I'm willing to die for this identity, you're with them. Because they have the ability to manipulate on a level that we don't. If you say, I'm Mr. Neutral, then when power, wealth, and influence starts bearing down on you, you will have no qualms about siding with them. You've already said, I'm neutral. The problem with it. Not so much that you had children, but the fact that when it's time to squad up and when it's time to reproduce, they've let us know who they're with. That they are going to put their power and their strength behind somebody else. At that point, what good does it do for us to have them here and for us to try to insist on that? At that point, identity becomes more important than anything else. Ask Taye Diggs, ask Wesley Snipes. Black as they can be, won't date a black woman if one was handcuffed to them. What good are those guys doing us? But we're going to consider them more black than Malcolm X? Based on genes? Based on DNA? Based on melanin content? At that point, we're blowing our own heads off. Or at least that's the way I see it. I know I said this before, brother, but definitely I'm going to go ahead and move on here real quick, but I'll let you have the last word.
Oh, man, we had a good conversation. But just want to tell you guys, have a good one, man. I'll text
you. Certainly take care, brother. Thank you very much for checking in with us here tonight. Melissa?
Yes, TBA.
Black Burst Sister. You're still, she's still getting over her cold, y'all.
I am. I'm sorry. I didn't, couldn't.
Aren't you glad you didn't miss this one?
I'm listening. That damn sounds familiar.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people nowadays who are sounding familiar. In case anybody is wondering how things turned out, yeah, there's a reason why you're hearing a bunch of new people now and whatnot. There's a reason for that. And no, I'm the authority. I never forget. Caller from the 973, you're live with the Black Channel.
Jason, how you doing? It's Caesar calling from Newark again.
Blackbirds, brother, what's on your mind?
I just want to say thank you so much. I tuned in maybe kind of late, and I just tuned in maybe like 10, 15 minutes ago. And like that last call you had, I deal with people like that all the time. It's so frustrating because, like me, I'm a black guy, right? Complex, like as far as my color, I'm like Carmelo Anthony. Like I'm a brown skin guy. But my father's Puerto Rican, and my mom is half Panamanian and half African American. But people tell me all the time, "Oh, you're not really black. You're Spanish," or you know, like something like that. And it's just so frustrating to me. And I'm like, "Why am I not black?" And 9 times out of 10, it's like some high yellow person telling me that. And I'm like, "Yo, I'm darker than you." And they're like, "Yeah, but you know, like I'm black, I'm from here. Like you're Spanish, so it's not the same." And I'm like, "How is it not the same? Like, our ancestors all came from Africa, obviously. You know what I'm saying? It's just like my ancestors got dropped off in the Caribbean. You got dropped off here. You know what I mean? But, like, we all black. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I know what they mean, but it's like I'm the type of person, I'll just keep going, like, till they give me the answer I want to hear. And they're just like, you know, they'll say, but we're American. Our struggle isn't the same. You know, the same. Your ancestors didn't go through this. I'm like, come on, man. Like, the similar stuff was going on everywhere. You know,
isn't
like,
it hysterical that these same people will call Barack Obama their black president?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? And I'm so glad
without
Jason,
question
like,
or without
reservation.
But here's the real problem is how dark someone is bothers me. I'm not worried about where you've been, Negro. How dark you are is a product of your parents, not you. So that I'm not going to thank you for how dark you are. I'm not giving you no awards, no trophies for how black you are.
Word.
I want to know where you're going. That's where you get respect and where you get chips and where you get props from me. You earn your stripes showing me where you're going, not by living up what your parents did. Your black mama got the blackest man she could to have babies with, and you're a recipient of her generosity. Now, what are you doing with it? Well, I'm Tay Diggs, and I don't really date black men like that. What the hell? So at that point right there, what good is he? Because he just said, on his blackness. He just sat there and told you, I can't stand to black whatsoever. So what is he going to teach his children? What is he going to teach them if he's going to send them out into the world with us? That's the problem that I have is individuals who are teaching their children to hate what they are, but sitting up and talking about, well, look at me in the mirror. I have a pass for anything and everything while I teach my children to despise what they are. And that's the part, right, that I say, I got to put some brakes on here because this fella right here, and that's another thing right there about the Hispanic thing, as you know, it's an ethnicity as opposed to an actual race, except the U.S. Census likes to toss those terms around. But here's the real problem. The real problem when people try to use those kind of things interchangeably. Because certain folks want to try to use that mess, want to refer to themselves black sometime and Hispanic other times.
Mm-hmm.
I got that recorded too, by the way. As I said before, trust me, y'all, I ain't gone in yet. Believe me. If I wanted to go in, I'm talking about hip deep, slap off concrete, steel toe boots in, I could do it. Because you ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm a nice guy. The black Ayatollah is not in the building anymore. But understand, there's some certain folks who like to play that little game too. And as far as I'm concerned, as black people, we need to let nonsense go. And don't let other people sit up here try to do that to you either, because it's a game, brother. Look, if I was so concerned about being black, why is it that everybody wants to mock black empowerment? When we say black first, people want to mock it. But when we need something done, the first thing they go do is looking for black first people. That's the first people they go looking for. They go looking for the pants. They go looking for the people for black empowerment. Now, when we start talking about building a black economy, Where are all these people who want to question you for being mixed and question you for being Panamanian and question you for being Jamaican? Where are all those people then? Where are they to say, no, here is my contribution to blackness? Where are they? They only bring up these females who holler about black men dating white women, but these they don't want to talk about racial solidarity any other time.
Mm-hmm.
7 days a week they'll tell you about scandal. 7 days a week they're going to the Regan store buying their hair. They don't give a damn about blackness until it suits them. That means you're bringing up black as a political tool. I'm not going for that garbage. My blackness is not a political football that you toss around for your own personal benefit. It's my identity. It's my everything. And you don't get to just toss it around when it's convenient for you. That's why you have to toss that to the side, brother. Don't let people run game on you. Don't let them do that. This is about whether they question your identity. This is about whether you question it.
Nah, not at all.
You question your identity. They want to get power over you by getting you to question your identity. Because this is really about getting control over you so that whatever position they take in the future, you go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. When I explain to Melissa and Mona, all these people hollering about y'all about being mixed, the guys who are doing it are simply trying to beat you down so that whatever position they go along with, including getting in your draws, you will just be so desperate for approval that you'll just go along with it. That's what it's really about. And Melissa can tell you all for a fact, not for an opinion, for a fact, is this thing on? That she got dudes for her airline tickets in her inbox. Oh! Oh! I'm not supposed to say that, though.
You're not. Shh.
Oh, I'm not supposed to tell you that. Because you see, you think Melissa only put out one video. Ah! If she wanted to go in on at least a dozen people, she could do it tonight. She could do it before this broadcast is over if she would just go in on a dozen. So I'm telling you and telling her and telling everybody else out there who has allowed dark-skinned black people like me to run game on y'all. To run game on y'all as far as what you can do and as far as who you are and what your identity is. I'm telling you, stop it. It's a game. They're just running game on you. This is about the fact that they don't have any other tools to assert themselves over you with. So they're going to see if they can get you to start. That's what it's all about, all of it. As greedy and petty and self-serving as that is, that's basically what it comes down to. That's all it is.
Uh-huh. Sure enough, man. But
that's
yeah,
I
like
really
I said, I'm glad
that.
You. I'm glad you brought
that
topic
that.
Up.
It's about control. It's about control, and it's been. I know it's a tough road to hoe, and I know it's gets difficult and frustrating, because you can point out the contradictions everywhere, starting with the president.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, once you just say, you know what, this is it, and that's it, and y'all can go to hell. They can't take it from you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know what, just listen to Jason, I'm telling you. Because once I was like, you know what, that's it, can't take it from me, I don't care what you have to say. You can't steal my identity. So much more peaceful. It's so much more peaceful that way. Not allowing
people. Power. I mean, this is like the black males who don't have any money. So what do? They spend all day. Brother, I mean, because you've seen this for yourself. Do you know how much money them dudes would have if they invested as much time? Forget everything else. If just invested as much time into learning JavaScript as they do into making them damn memes of them white women and black women and Puerto Rican women that post up all over the place. If they put as much time into learning how to make something and build something as they do into that, they wouldn't have to be begging for sex.
Yep.
They wouldn't have to be doing all these silly-ass memes to try to shame women into sleeping with their lame asses. They wouldn't have to do that, but they have to resort to that because all they want to do is make memes. Power, wealth, influence, they're not interested in. That's why they're making memes.
That's true. I think about that also. You put so much time and effort into. I don't talk bad about anybody. I don't talk to people about things. Yet so much energy is put into making memes about me. And I'm like, God, if y'all put that energy into something productive, we would be so far ahead. We would be so far ahead of where we are right now. However, you know, that doesn't eat panties fast enough. You know, so.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Nah, you know, like I said, you're always on point, Jason. Yeah, like I said, this topic was so on point. I just had to call in and Black First. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't know if you remember. The other day, you posted a picture of, I think it was a share of somebody else, and it had like a picture of like the five black women up there. I think a guy named Will or something like that. And like all
yeah,
the women were commenting.
Yeah, I'm talking about that at the beginning
of the broadcast. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. I missed it. I'll go listen to it.
No, it's okay. I'm talking about that at the beginning of the broadcast. What was your question?
No, what do you think that, like whose fault do you think it is that some women just, like, I don't know. I don't want to call them lazy, but I can't think of what else it could be. Like they have so many excuses. Like some women were saying like, oh, well, like Halle Berry, Beyonce, and all them girls, that's not realistic. You know, that's Photoshopped or whatever like that. But, like, why is that so unrealistic?
The reason that white women take better care of their appearance and always have is because white men have power, wealth, and influence, and they level and leverage that power, wealth, and influence to coerce their women to behave a certain way. You want access to the power, wealth, and influence that I've got, you can get it, but you have to ride by my rules. White men have demand, but they bring their power, wealth, and influence, and that is what enforces demand. Black men come with demands and no power, no wealth, no influence.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to get you don't have anything with which to bargain. I just want the women to get sexy. Why? So I can have some sexy women to have sex with. Okay, at that point, understand, she is doing you the favor now. You need to bring power, wealth, and influence. That is what will get her mind right. When she sees that there is an opportunity for her to gain power, wealth, and influence, she will conform to the standard that you set.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You brought nothing with which to bargain. No wonder she's not doing things your way. And those five women around that table, they got more power and influence than most black men do. No wonder they're not doing things the way you want. She's not beholden to you. You didn't give her anything she couldn't get on her own. No wonder she's not paying any attention to you whatsoever. She's not trying to appease you in any way. And she doesn't care if she appeals to you or not. Lisa Ray does not care if all of us think that she's the most butch-looking thing on the Internet. None of us built awkward black girl for her. None of us put her in touch with Shonda Rhimes for her. None of us took her financing for her. None of us helped her build what she's got. You may have put to her Kickstarter, but you didn't help her get the first 8-9 episodes done. The Kickstarter was the last thing she did, not the first. So guess what? Who built you owns you. We did not build her, thus we don't own them. So she doesn't care if you think her sweatpants and her T-shirt are sexy or not. She doesn't care if you think that fade on her head is sexy or not, because guess what? She's not really checking for you, because she's looking for power, more wealth, and more influence. And you ain't got it. Now, if there's a guy who can help her get a leg up, and he's got it, and he wants her to change, guess what? He's not even going to have asked. Might want to mute phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you're going to have a cancer,
I'm sorry,
use your phone if your tuberculosis is getting worse over there.
I'm so sorry.
I want to use your phone for that. But brother, if a black man did have, I mean, if a Tyler Perry type dude was running up on her, guess what? New hairstyle. She would have that damn mini afro put into twists faster than you can say, what's that number? Okay, but ain't nobody offering, so guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That's, brother, we as black men need to understand that white folk think that black men like you and me are going to bow down to them for religious reasons, just on principle.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party is like, why do you not just bow down based on ideology? Don't you see we have more power, wealth, and influence? And we're like, hell no, I'm black first.
Hell no.
I'm not going to bow down to you based on principle. My principle is not to do that. We as black, because the only way we're going to bow to you is there's some respect going on. And ain't that much respect in the day world. The women are saying that to men. The only way that we're going to submit to you is if you offer us power, wealth, and influence. Oh, you didn't offer any. Well, it works the same way. We want you women to submit based on principle. What the hell kind of principle are you asking me to submit to? And we as black men are doing everything we can to avoid that. And it's not working. And it never will. Not now. Not ever. I'll let y'all last word, brother.
As always, black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for checking in with us here. It's going to stop taking calls here shortly, but I'm going to go ahead and see if I can run through as many of the remaining people who are online right now as I can. So don't worry about the little lady in a few minutes here. She'll bust in with that at 60 seconds, but don't worry about 90 seconds or whatever. Don't worry about that. We'll be perfectly fine. I do want to get as many of your calls in here as I possibly can before we head out of here. Caller from the 212, you're on live with the Black Panel.
Who is, what is, the hell is going on here?
Okay, you're answering the phone kind of crazy.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, we're talking to you for a moment here.
Wow, okay. I'm getting a little bit confused because I was trying to talk to the Black Authority and I'm talking to you?
Yes, I am.
You're the Black Authority?
Yes, I am. Who are you? You've got speakers behind you. That's probably why you're having such latency.
I don't know. This is really confusing because I'm listening to him right now. He's speaking right now, and I'm hearing you, but I'm hearing him at the same time, and he is not
okay.
You.
Brother, hang up the phone.
I called
just
the number 646.
Brother,
seven.
Just hang up the phone, okay?
I called the number 646.
Okay,
787.
Last time, just hang up, step away from the phone, and hang it up.
I want to talk to the Black Authority.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you really don't. Caller from the 951, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, this is Mona Lachey.
Black First, sister, welcome back to the Black Channel. Have you heard the night I've been having?
Yes, I have. I've been listening all night. I actually thought, I guess because I was on the Ustream, I thought I was already connected, but I hung up and I had to call back in. Good evening, Melissa.
Hi, Mona.
I just have one comment tonight, Jason. It seems like women are being attacked all across the board. Either men want, I'll say this. They want a natural, they want a fine. They want a dime, then she's dumb. They want an average one, and then she's too smart. They want an intelligent woman, then they want somebody to shut up. What do they want?
Well, the men are expressing the same type of irrational, schizophrenic instability that they were raised with. This is what being raised by all these single mothers has done. You have men who are not definite. They're not definitive. They don't have the ability to be decisive. They are expressing the indecisiveness with which they were raised. So they're expressing this hyper-emotionality that is becoming irrationality. So one day they want you natural, the next day they want you not. And it's really not that. It's really not that. No man says, I want natural one day and weave the next. What you're saying is that there's so many separate cross-sections out there. But truth is that if these men pursuing power, wealth, and influence, these wouldn't even be questions. They wouldn't even be questions. But the reason that they are questions is because they have no power, they have no wealth, and they have no influence. So you've got one, everybody is just trying to get in where they fit in. And that's why you're getting all these different ants from all these different places. So among Asian men, they have a set of requirements across the board. Hispanics, Latinos, a set requirement across the board. Caucasian males, a set requirement across the board. Arab males, a set requirement across the board. The only group that are decisive are the ones who are not building. Raised by single mothers, and guess what? Their criteria are all over the place. You talk to us here at the Black, you get a decisive criterion. Outside this place, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. But then again, they're not looking for a woman to build with. They're looking for a woman to utilize, not to build with. And that's why my answers sound so profoundly different from everything else you're hearing from them. Because everything I talked about, I talk about Issa Rae with respect. Don't respect that what's on her head, but I talk about her with respect. Because I respect what she's accomplished. And at the same time, while I don't approve of everything I see, I understand why that is. And I understand that there is a way to alter it, but what we're doing is going to get there. Making a bunch of wisecracks and making a bunch of punchlines, that's not going to change her behavior. That's not influencing her behavior. We got no pull with her because she sees where she has cultivated power, wealth, and influence, and we have it. That's the disconnect, Mona. That's the disconnect.
Yeah, because I was sitting here and I went back to your page and I was looking at all five of these women and I'm like, I don't see a problem with any of them. They all look natural. They all look like they weren't superficial. They all look like they weren't materialistic. I don't know them personally. So
yeah, but they also look manly. The problem is three of them look distinctly manly. Or at least two and a half of them. What we're saying here is that there were none of them at the they were intelligent and accomplished women, but there were, as a man, because here's the problem here, Mona, you're a female, so your opinion of how those women look, that's not really relevant. No disrespect, of course, to my Mona. I would never want that to be the case because she'd be on the person with wings to Shreveport. But what I mean is that, like, for example, let's talk about body types here, okay? And I want everybody to remember what I'm about to give you here because for males and females, you can all learn about this because I used to talk to women. This is when I was early on I had a chance to be able to learn about this. Now, Mona, as a man, as a woman, I want you to tell me the body type of a man. Just pick an actor, movie star, somebody that we all know so we know what kind of body type it is. Tell me the body type that you, as a woman, considered to be ideal for a man. If you could make one yourself, what body type would you have?
Suge Knight.
Did I hear that correct?
That was I like a big man. I like a big man. So, Suge Knight.
All right.
Alrighty then. Melissa, right along here. What kind of body type do you like?
I like, trying to think of a, like a Will Smith.
Okay. Now, I want you all to think about something. When we as men Let me say this one more time. That was from the eyes of two women. One says she likes Rick Ross, and the other one says that she likes Will Smith. Now, understand something. Though you are both women. As men, most of us did not agree with the Suge Knight thing. We're like, really? Because I know he used to play football, but come on, really? But, okay, men, we're like, no. Will Smith, we can understand that more. We can understand more, but understand something. As men, that is not the body type that we consider to be ideal and most attractive for women. What is the body type that you think that we consider to be most attractive for women?
I would say like a Jennifer Lopez or something.
No. I don't mean women. I mean as men. Now, you all said that if you could construct a man from the ground up, one of you wants Suge Knight, the other wants Will Smith. If we as males could construct ourselves from the ground up, what kind of body type do you think we would have, most of us?
Morris Chestnut, Denzel Washington.
Wrong.
I'm thinking like a super muscular Rambo or something.
Thank you. You can tell by our daughters and what we talk about, because some of us know who Suge Knight is. Most of us know who Will Smith is. All of us. All of us know who the WWE is. All of us know who the NFL is. All of us know who Dwayne Johnson is. What does that tell you? This is what the men are fixating on. All of us remember Rocky and Apollo Creed. So for we as men, just that fit, muscular build, that to us is not optimum. That's not optimal to us. For us, it's that super heroic body build type build. That is what we consider to be optimal. It should pull all the chicks. But here's the thing that most men don't know. Most women consider that to be not attractive. Notice I didn't say unattractive. It's just that that type of build isn't doing anything special for her. Because we're like, well, if Will Smith is what she likes, then certainly Dwayne Johnson as Roadblock, well, she will love that. She likes Will Smith. So if she likes a guy whose arms are 13 inches round, she's going to be really happy when my arms get 22 inches around. And we don't understand that, no, she already told you. You know, Scott Steiner and, you know, Hulk Hogan and guys like Mr. T and stuff like that. Like, she's saying, wait a minute, it's excessive. And the guy, we're saying, what do you mean excessive? Like, we need to be. This is a sweet spot right here. And she's like, no, you don't get it. That's too big. You have too much muscle. What am I going to do with all that? And more than that, even if I have to do with it, that's not turning on. That's not appealing to me. So the guys are out here making the steroid business a multi-billion dollar black market to impress females who are not impressed. We're looking at Dave Bautista and saying, that's the man right there. Look at this. Looking at Brock Lesnar. I'm in the white guys because they don't have any black guys left like that anymore. Well, I guess, what's his name? And saying, yeah, that's what we want to be. And not realizing that that's not actually doing anything for the females. But men can identify with muscularity. And that muscularity does not bother us. Even though we are totally blind and tone deaf to the fact that these women just named two body types that aren't especially muscular. And we're blowing all of our money on HGH, testosterone, and steroids. To get a body type that isn't even appealing to these women. So you mean to tell me I could have gotten in bed with you just built like Morris Chestnut? Yeah. So you mean I've been working myself to 6 days in the gym a week when I could have stopped at three? Basically, that's what he's telling you. I'm trying to look like Tiny Zoo Lister, and I stopped a long time ago. But because I'm looking at a woman through a man's eyes instead of listening to what the women say, guess what? I'm doing a whole bunch of work, nothing. As women, you need to look at yourselves through our eyes. Don't look at us through yours. Don't look at women through your eyes. Look at yourself through ours. She's got a pretty face, yeah, but her body is built like a forklift. She's got a pretty face, yeah, but that hair, I mean, her haircut looks like mine. And that's why most men do not like female bodybuilders, because they're built like men. If he wanted to curl up with another man, then he could just go get a man. Why would I want to curl up with a woman who has all, not some, all of the physical characteristics of a man? I don't even feel like I'm engaging in a sexual act right now. I feel like I'm in bed with you. I know that you're not a man, but you're close enough that I can no longer make that psychological distinction. When the female is all tatted up and got the sleeveless shirts and the crew cut, you know, looking like Snoop from The Wire, totally androgynous. As men, we're not overlooking that. As women, you are more conciliatory. You're more forgiving. As men, we're not going to be forgiving of that. You appeal to me and impress me as a man, a woman. So telling these women that, well, I think she looks cute, the problem is you are giving her a very, very forgiving eye. Men are not doing that. Why? Because Mona can afford to be lenient like that. Mona ain't going to be sleeping with her. As men can't afford to do that, because if I sign off on the way she looks, at some point she's going to expect me to get in with her. With me having to explain to her, whoa, you know, it's, you just turn me on like that. The hair does matter. That is a womanly trait. Lots of hair is a womanly, lot of hair on your head is a womanly trait. Let me just say that before I step off, that first thing I thought was hair on your back. Wait a minute. Back up. But lots of hair on a woman's head is a womanly trait. Just like hair on the chest is a manly trait. And there's a bunch of women who don't like smooth men, by the way. There's a lot of women, I won't say most, but there's a lot of women who can't stand a man who doesn't have any hair on him at all. He's just smooth from head to toe.
I don't like that.
And there's a bunch of guys out there, I know some fellows who buy women's razors to make sure they're silky smooth. I don't associate with them fellows like that, but I know, but I know they do it. And, you know, they may think they're all genius, and they are. They're getting that close, clean, super smooth thing that they want. The problem is, dude, understand there's only a certain type of female who's going to go for that. Most females don't want a man who feels like a woman. But he's telling himself that I will be so smooth and suave, he will not be able to resist me. Why? Because women are silky smooth, so certainly she can appreciate my silky smoothness. But, dude, she's already got plenty of silky smooth on her own. What does she need your for? We're overloaded. You got her overstocked. She wants the opposite of what she has. A man wants a female who is not like a man. We got the masculine thing wrapped up. We don't need to bring more masculinity. But as I seen in the first hour here, the other side of that, though, is that we tend to make intelligent women, intelligent people in black society, period, but intelligent women tend to feel like outcasts. And because they feel like cast, they start not giving a damn what you think about their appearance. I'm too busy building to care about what you think. So now we have a disassociative effect. She don't give a damn what you approve of. You're not putting money in her pocket. And by the way, you weren't really knocking down doors to get at me even before I started looking like this. We have to learn to be, I'm going to say more accepting because it's not accepted, but we need to learn to be more patient in encouraging the ones who feel awkward or ostracized. You know, we need to work on making them feel more accepted, because we don't do as much as we could be doing to make those types of females feel included. We don't do enough. And just wagging our fingers and you know, beating the pulpit is not really encouraging them to change like that. That works on a man, but that doesn't really work on a woman the same way. Not the same way it doesn't. For somebody like those women at that table, they want a man with power, wealth, and influence. They're demonstrating to you what their actions, what they are looking for. And the men are doing everything to avoid gaining power, wealth, and influence before making those demands. I didn't say we shouldn't make the demands. We need to come to the door with our power and our wealth and our influence, and then we can start to make those demands. Because right now, we just sound like a bunch of 55 beggars who are looking for a estrogen handout. Baby, can you spare some draws? Brother, can you spare a dime? That's what we sound
so,
like as men.
Are you saying to me that men, okay, I'm trying to get this together. Everybody is visual. They are attracted to what they like. It's okay for men to get that dime that'll take half of their money. They prefer that better than to get that average-looking woman to take half of their money. It's better for
okay.
them
first
that
of all, first of all, that's a false argument because why are you with a woman who is, quote, taking half your money in the first place? Why are you even with her?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just asking you a question. Men towards to gravitate towards what they what is physical, you know, they're physically attracted to. But then at some point in time, that dime piece or that sexy one or that girl that kept her body together, she's messed up too. And they overlook the average woman.
But there's a difference, though. The difference is they shouldn't prioritize looks. I'm not here to say that. What I'm saying is that there's a difference between average looking and manly looking. We have a bunch of females who are out here right now. They are doing zero. And I know you've seen it because you work in the beautician business, and Melissa sees it, and every female out there sees it, and every guy out there damn sure seeing it. These women do not look average. They look, they have done absolutely nothing to exude femininity. They don't walk like women. They don't dress like women. They don't appeal to us like women. Yeah, we're visual. Yeah, we are. And when a woman looks like a man, we can't overlook that. So it's not a difference between looking average. It'd be different if she looked like the average female. But half of that table looked like the average male. That's the real problem. When I'm putting you side by side with a male, and there's not much distance between the two of them. There's supposed to be a world of difference between the way a woman looks and a man looks. You shouldn't look like a cute guy. You should look like a cute woman. You shouldn't look like a soft fella. And if I know you're a female, if you are edging too close to looking like a soft fella, that's a turnoff. At that point right there, I have to consider all of that because do I want to have children with a woman who is going to groom my daughter to have a crew cut.
Okay.
I mean, I can't sit up and get with this woman and then 3 years later talk about, okay, time for you to grow your hair out. I've been sleeping with this woman for 3 years and she's pregnant and now I want to tell her to change her hair? What, you've been with me for 3 years. I'm pregnant now. We married. What you talking about? Change my hair. You were fine with it for the last 3 years. I must have been okay enough to sleep with and have kids with. And as men, I agree with you that we need to send some correct signals and we need to send some straight signals. These guys who are sitting up here sleeping with all these butch-looking women are sending a signal. But when men are sending a straight signal, accept that. Because, I mean, a guy will sleep with anything. The question is, what will he keep? And a man who's going to keep a woman who's exuding too much masculinity, he's thinking about how that's going to affect his children. And ultimately, that's how you end up getting all the sex from a man you can handle, and he's not trying to marry you because he's already thought that over. That, yeah, but I'm pretty sure you're comfortable the way you are. I'm just not trying to have my daughter walking around with combat boots, sleeveless shirts. And you will be cool with that. I want my daughter to be girly. I want my daughter to be soft and nice and feminine and to like her to be a girl. I don't want her to be a guy. This is why like women like Ronda Rousey and Gina Carano and Cyborg Santos, these are all great fighters. some of them in certain respects are sexy as far as body build. They got a nice athletic build. But we as men are turned off by them outside of that. Somebody might sleep with you, but he's not going to keep you. Because we don't want a woman who is comfortable with slugging somebody just like a man. Even if you're going to fight, I want you to fight like a woman. I don't want you squaring off like no dude. You know, I'm not going to get myself in that much trouble all the time that I need you to be right there like a dude. Because I had a friend who was like that once. Never will forget her. Down this nicest chick you could ever meet, but she's like Snoop from The Wire. I mean, she was a thick board, okay? She walked like Ice Cube. I mean, she had gangsta lean. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. And one time, a couple of dudes were talking greasy to me and whatnot. So, I mean, I stood up, and I was like, y'all need to put some distance between yourself and me. I'll be damned if she didn't stand up and stand right beside me. I'm dead serious. I mean, she stood right there with her fist balled up, and I'm like, ride or die. I mean, I can respect that. I'm like, at that point, I just wanted to give a pound and just say, that's right on. I'm not sleep with you. I'm not. Don't you understand? You just remove yourself from the marriage pool forever. Forever. Time I need to go whip somebody's ass, I'm calling you. Everything else, there's females. And I just want everybody to understand that. You know, it's just like these dudes with their pants sagging. That's not gangster. Sissified. There's only a certain type of female who signs up on that. And she's not about nothing either. But I don't blame you for being frustrated by the mixed signals. What a man needs to do is find a woman who behaves like a woman who is going to help him to build something. That's what he needs to prioritize. A woman who is about building. As long as he got that, he should be okay. As far as wanting a dime, if a man prioritizes, I want a dime, I'd be very worried about him. He should want a woman who looks nice, because that how you keep your body tells me what kind of person you are. We can't sit up here and say that Gabrielle Sidibe is a slob at 400 pounds, but that the average woman is okay at 250. We can't say that. I mean, we can, but we're damned contradictory. Everybody needs to be consistent. We can't say that your baby daddy ain't nothing and is a deadbeat because he's not paying child support today. He was okay to sleep with when he was because of a joke before you get pregnant. He's broke and got no money. He was a deadbeat then. Why was it okay to sleep with him and have kids? Now you turn around because it's no longer working to your convenience. For men and women, that's what I was saying. I don't approve of the way that they were sitting there, but I understand. And as a female, I can understand why they'd be like, whoa, hold on, Captain. I'm not trying to do these dudes no favors because they haven't done any favors. Why should I be doing them a favor? If they let me, fine. If they don't, know what? That's the way it's been all this time. What's new? What's new? And as a guy, I have to swallow a bitter pill and say, you know what? She's right. She's right. It's not like we were really valuing her for her intellect before now. And her initiative and ambition, obviously, that's already there. It wasn't like we put a premium on it before now. How are we going to jump up 10 years later in 2014 and start trying to call shots to her? Natural that we want to, but it's natural, but it's no longer rational. And that's just the way it is. If you want to stay on the line, Monique, you can go ahead and take one more call here and probably knock it out for the night. Caller from 585, you're on live with the Black Channel.
What's up? This is Black Brother from Rochester.
What's on your mind, brother? You want to take your phone off speaker because it's really, really quiet.
Okay. I was just noticing how, like, nobody want to claim black. Seem like everybody want to claim like the piece that they mix with, like the most and the black the least. I don't like that.
Well, right now people want to play this game. They want to play this game until they get into a situation where there's nothing but black people in the room. That's cowardice. When I did my broadcast a couple of days ago, coward is the new black, that I was referring to. They want to be black when it's convenient. They want to be black when it's safe. They don't want to be black and exude it and protect it and be a standard bearer for it and exemplify it when it's work. They just want to use it when it's convenient. A people of no principles. That's why I said coward is the new black.
Right.
Now, the real thing is, what do we do to change that? What we do to change is to be uncompromising. That's what we do. We change
right.
the dynamic by being uncompromising.
I totally agree. We got to get on the same page and just got to, you know, in my life.
Okay, your phone's breaking up on you a little bit there, brother, but thank you very much for checking in with us here. Think about how things would be right now. And I'll pose that to both of you, Melinda and Mona. Think about how things would be right now if, and I'm just throwing this out there as an example, if, for example, like with Issa Rae's series, if she had veered in that direction trying to make an interracial point. Or think about a show like Scandal, if she had left the president to be with the black senator or representative or whoever the hell he was. Think about what that would have done and what kind of example that sets if they had been uncompromising. That's the kind of thing that if we saw more of that, that feeding into the atmosphere would make a difference. Or if anybody disagrees, let me know.
No, you're exactly correct. And that is a part of our divide, that we don't see that happening. That's a part of our divide. But we complain about it, but we make those number one shows because it's just entertainment. It has nothing to do with us. That's not all black people. We don't act like that.
Then go ahead and ostracize the product.
And that's why I say I made my video about Scandal. And I said, you know, we as black people and black men in particular, we need to do more to stop that kind of thing. If you leave Issa Rae out there by herself, what is she going to do? She's going to look for the power, wealth, and influence. Guess who's got it?
Yes, sir.
That's why a white guy wound up turning up on her webcast before even the first season was over. She's following the money. She's following the power and the wealth and the influence. Elevating a black male, what's that going to do to enhance her power, wealth, and influence? How is that going to work? Shonda Rhimes is going where the power and the wealth and the influence are. Where's the benefit to enhancing black men in your series? What is that going to do for you? And what I'm saying is, as black men, black people, but black men in particular, let's start doing ourselves some favors. Let's start doing ourselves some favors. I have a confession to make right now from everybody. There was a project that I was working on. It was a hardware project. 7 years ago, we realized that digital cameras had the capability to do what film cameras do. The company Red, who makes, as I've explained to you all before, the digital cameras that do most Hollywood movies today, Spider-Man, Avengers, Avatar 2 and 3, so on and so forth, all your blockbusters today are done with a digital camera from a company called Red. That unit's going to put you back about $100,000, $150,000 completely decked out. The Red Epic. The problem is that camera obviously is too damn expensive. The company Red promised us 5 years ago that they would deliver a camera that would put out 4K resolution, 4,000 lines of resolution. 4K for 4K. It would be a 4,000 line resolution, high definition cinema camera that would cost $4,000. Well, we all got psyched. We said, hey, it's great. Took years before the camera came out, and when they finally did release it, 24 hours before they released the camera for sale, they informed us that the price was going to be $10,000, not $4,000. A lot of us felt betrayed, even though this was a major step down from the Epic. $10,000 is a far cry from $100,000, but still, that's a lot more than you told us it was going to be. I decided at that time that if Red was not going to capitalize on the market, I'd say if I could. But I had a different idea. I said, you know what? There's a lot of DSLRs out here that are already capable of doing a lot of the work. The resolution is not high enough. There are two, I guess I can say this now, there are two companies, one in China, one in Japan, that manufacture the firmware and the circuit board and sensor that can produce the 4K image. And I wanted to have global shutter, not no rolling shutter. For those of you who don't know cameras, don't even worry about it, but global is better to have. Well, I decided that, you know what, I bet you that I could produce a 4K cinema quality camera for about $2,500. Maybe get the price to $3,000. No, 3,000, maybe as low as 2,500, but somewhere in there. I said, I've talked to these companies. I can get that price down to that point. Because if Red's not do it, hey, there's an opportunity for somebody. A company named Blackmagic has since released a 4K camera that they're selling now for like $3,000. To make matters worse, the new Panasonic GH4 is supposed to be a 4K camera. All that stuff that Red wanted to charge us that extra money for, I guess it took me too long to get my chips together and stuff because it's an expensive undertaking. I missed an opportunity there. You can say, hey, man, it takes a lot of money. Be that as it may, the opportunity is gone now. There's no way I can compete with Panasonic. There's no way anybody can compete with Panasonic. It's the biggest of the big. It is what it is at this point. So I'm absolutely no excuse for anybody today to be watching Issa Rae, to be watching Scandal. There is no excuse for any black man in America. If you got rims on your car, you got enough money to buy Blackmagic 4K cinema camera. You've got enough money for that. And very soon, when the GH4 is released in the full production, that camera's probably going to cost around $1,500. I don't think the cost of it's going to be up that much from the current models, which are like $1,200. I think that one's going to be around $1,500. Even if it's $2,000, it kicked the ass of everything else out there. I use GH2s to film most of my documentary. Most of it. Not all of it, most of it. There is no excuse for complaining about what the women aren't doing. No excuse of complaining about what the networks and the corporations aren't doing. If you don't have the respect of the women, if they're not cooperating, if they're not dressing the way you want them to, why are you not putting a camera in front of their faces? Because women are hypnotized by cameras. That's just like using the glamour from True Blood, you know, that's just hypnotized. Why is it that you're not doing that? There's no excuse anymore. There's none. You can't say that the stuff is too expensive. You can't say that. You are refusing to do it because it's easier to whine and pitch and moan and complain. And nobody, no man, no woman, no child, no people, nobody has respect for a man, a grown man, who has the ability to produce and has decided, nah, I ain't doing that. I'll sit here and complain. I'm not going to all that. Let me see what these females have built first, and then I'll see if I'll build anything. Nobody's got any respect for you like that. Nobody. And nobody should. I'm just telling you all right now, I've been making these videos for as long as I have, telling you about the equipment that's out there so that you will be aware of what's available. And to let you know that as the leaders of our people, as men, there's no more excuses. There's none. You cannot complain about the way your women look, and yet you ain't putting the camera in front of their faces. You're not offering anything. You're not even offering the opportunity to record them. You're not even doing that. But you want to call shots. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. What do you expect them to do when you don't provide any benefits? What do you expect? This is a natural result of being a negligent leader. Sisters, I'll let you have the last word.
Wow. I agree, TVA.
I think tonight's broadcast has been very informative. Talking to Aaliyah, I think, will be mind-blowing for a bunch of people. Can't wait till they start hearing that on the recording. If you didn't hear it, Mona, just get in full of that one.
Oh,
yeah, like that one's one for the record books. I ought to make her a co-host is what I need to. I need to make her. She's gonna make me look really, really smart every week. And by the way, the reason why I was pressing her about Cameron is because it's not enough to tell people that you're smart. Now, she was right for the most part. I'm not gonna flog about. You know, people who are saying the Tories, and the full name of it is the Conservative and Union Party, okay? So, like I say, I was trying to get her to be a little more specific. I'm like, if you really checked into this, you know, that's like saying that the Republican Party is the Republican Party is the GOP, but you can't tell me what GOP stands for. So I was really trying to press her on that, you know, to give her an opportunity for that. So I'm not going to flog her about that. And we're not going to get into the history of it, the Tories and all that stuff. We're not going to get into that, okay? I was just making sure that, as opposed to her just talking that she knows, I will give her credit about what she knows about as far as the political parties and whatnot, and knowing about Dave Cameron's party. That's real nice. That's real cute. I wouldn't, at this point right now, everything she said after that, and that's the other point I wanted to get to, the value of her knowledge of British politics, doesn't she understand all that just got swept off the table with everything you said after that? Your knowledge of politics is an asset, but everything you said after that became a straight liability.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here. I hope everybody got something out of this. Do join us tomorrow. I'll be broadcasting live here at theblackchannel.net. Same black time, same black channel. And once again, I would like to thank my brothers and sisters from around the world for joining us. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters around the world, remember, black is the future. The future, as always, is unstoppable and uncompromising.